Welcome, listeners, to time for an awakening on Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennia. This is a history and current events program from a cultural perspective. We find this program necessary because Hosea 4:6 states my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. But we as a people can turn this around. Proverbs 4:7 states wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get an understanding. Again, welcome to the program this evening with your host, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. The number to reach us to join the conversation this evening is 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We're streaming live at several locations. You can go to timeforawakening.com, which is the homepage. That's timeforanawakening.com, and listen to the live stream there. You can tune into www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforawakening. Again, that's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening, and listen to the live stream from that location. Or you can download the TuneIn app to any of your carry-around devices and your handheld devices. TuneIn is a free app. Internet TuneIn search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening. There you'll see the icon, and you can stream the program live, even into your car. That's Time for Awakening radio program with the live stream on the TuneIn app. And I want to welcome in a new member. Well, they welcome me to their family, our radio network, which is part of the Southern Soul Network, which broadcasts out of the Black Belt, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia. We're part of the Our Radio Network family and the Southern Soul Network, so you'll be hearing us broadcasting live also on Our Radio Network and the Southern Soul Network. I don't know whether that's up and running tonight. It possibly is, but I know by next week and the coming weeks, we'll be broadcasting live from that location also. Drop us an email at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. That's timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Time for Awakening also has a fan page on Facebook. In that Facebook search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening radio program. There you always see interesting content being posted daily. And before you leave that page, hit that like button, please. That's Time for an Awakening radio program with the fan page on Facebook and Time for Awakening. The website has been launched. There you'll see more interesting content, podcasts and blogs and podcasts of the programs that you can download, listen at later times, or even share with your friends. So again, make that one of your favorites. Put that in your address bar. That's timeforanawakening.com. Timeforawakening.com will take you straight to Time for an Awakening Media. Tonight we're in open forum, but we do have two special guests joining us. A new program will be joining the Time for Awakening family. Anxious to hear the host tonight, Brother Oshie. He'll be joining us. The program is called African Perspectives. It's part of the Motherland Media Group, which will be joining the Time for Awakening family. We'll discuss Brother Oshie's program, talk about his work and African perspectives, the times it will be on. You'll be able to hear it on Time for Awakening Media, and he'll be joining us in the first hour and be part of the program this evening. Also in the second hour, the president of Black Talk Media Project and a member of the New Abolitionist Group Movement, Mr. Scotty Reed, will be joining us in the second hour of the program. And you're always the special guest, the listening audience. We'll be right back to get things started after a brief word from our sponsors.
Mr. Moderator, our distinguished guests, brothers and sisters, our friends and our enemies. Everybody is here.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
From antiquity to the present, our people need to develop a new paradigm. It's time for an awakening with your host, Brother Elliot. Sundays, 7 p.m., Fridays at 8 p.m. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit us up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. And before we get started with the program this evening, I want to welcome in my co-host, Philadelphia activist and tour guide at the African American History Museum here in Philadelphia at 7th and Arch. Brother Richard is with us. Brother Richard.
Yes, sir, Brother Elliot.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. I'm glad to see that Time for Awakening is expanding in other regions and creating other relationships and actually being able to grow the output and voice with the two new members to the Time for Awakening outlet.
You know, I mentioned to the listening audience before that we're going to have some new exciting things to add to Time for Awakening. Being a part of the Southern Soul Network, which heretofore played music, they were blues and R&B, they contacted me and said that they wanted Black Conscious Talk added to their lineup. We became a part of our family, our radio network, and part of the Southern Soul Network, so we'll be broadcasting live there, pulling in some of our folks, our family members down in the Black Belt into the conversation. So we're expanding, and part of that expansion tonight is our special guest that's joining us. We got two special guests, really, but our first guest, which will be part of the program conversation this evening, this whole evening, is Brother Oshie. He'll be joining us. He'll be joining the Time for Awakening Media Group with his program, African Perspectives. It's part of the Motherland Media Group that'll be joining the Time for Awakening family, and it's a couple other programs that's part of the Motherland Media Group that will be joining Time for Awakening. I want to welcome in Brother Oshie. I think this is Brother Oshie with us. Brother Oshie.
Good evening.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, Brother Elliot. And hello, Brother Richard. How are you?
Oh, good, good. And glad to have you be a part of the interaction, development, and dialogue.
Oh, no doubt. I'm honored and proud to be a part of a network that is seeking truth to our people, helping raise the consciousness of our people, elevating our minds so we can break the vice grip that this Caucasian has on our minds.
So, Brother Oshie, I'm glad to have you as part of Time for Awakening. Let me get these levels right. Glad to have you part of part of the Time for Awakening family. But before we talk about African perspectives and a couple of the other programs that will be coming over too as part of the Motherland Media Group, let's talk about you, Brother Oshie. I know that you're in the Atlanta area. Talk about yourself. Talk about African perspectives. Give our listening audience at Time for Awakening, the family, a little teaser of what they're going to hear on African perspectives.
Well, I thank you, Brother Elliot. Well, just basically about me, I'm from Milwaukee, from the city of Milwaukee. I'm retired from the Milwaukee Fire Department. I've been retired for over 10 years, and I've been living in Atlanta 3 years. And started the radio program 4 years ago in Milwaukee. As messed up as Milwaukee is is a very dichotomous, because even though it's one of the worst places, it also has some progressive things going on. And so one of the radio stations that we had there, and it called themselves Milwaukee, the call letters were WMCS, which is Milwaukee's Community Station.
Mm-hmm.
And it was run by Willie Davis, former Green Bay Packer, all-pro broadcasting, they called it. And he had a number of stations across the country. And this one particular station in Milwaukee went to an all-talk format some years ago. And the people who are within all-pro broadcasting, I guess, didn't really like that, didn't really want that. But Willie Davis wanted that. And so his manager from Houston, Texas, Brother Don Rosette, was a station manager until he left and went back to Houston, and his sister took over, and they could maintain the talk format. But then suddenly, I guess he lost a vote or whatever, and they decided to eliminate WMCS. In fact, it was early February day. This one brother who's now an ancestor, Brother Eric Vaughn, he had a morning program. He was out of D.C., but he had been broadcasting in Milwaukee for about 20 years. So he became part of what was happening in Milwaukee. And right after his show, the radio went silent. And, of course, in commercial radio, that's the worst thing that can happen. It's for the radio to go silent. And so people were wondering what's going on. And when the station resumed broadcasting, they were playing Elvis Presley music.
Wow, okay.
They played Elvis Presley music. One of the board members, this European Jew who was on there, and he said some stuff in the paper that just made me sick, because he sounded like, well, we didn't want this to happen. From my understanding, he was one of the big pushes to make this happen, to eliminate American African Talk Radio in Milwaukee on that station. So the format changed, and then members of the community got together and said how terrible this was, because we do need a voice in the community. So we all put the money down and said, let's develop a radio station that will be owned as a co-op within our community. So we were trying to do that, and we came up with Motherland Media, and we were broadcasting on Google for a minute, but that did not work out. That didn't happen. And we also, too, were planning to get a low-frequency FM station from the FCC. They got that, and they are broadcasting in Milwaukee, 102.3 in Milwaukee, on a low-frequency FM station. A couple of good, dear friends of mine are involved in that.
Okay.
And so then when we got Motherland Media, we switched to Blog Talk Radio. So the other format was not working, was very, just didn't. Sometimes it just wouldn't even happen.
Okay.
So we went to Blog Talk Radio, and we've been with them for about over 3 years, almost 4 years. So that's the history of the Motherland Media. Dr. William Rogers, a good friend of mine, also from Milwaukee, now lives in Covington, Georgia. He broadcasts on Saturdays the Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. He poses questions, has panel discussions and so forth. Outstanding program. The other program on Motherland Media is Us Lifting Us, and I'm quite sure you heard about Us Lifting Us.
Mm-hmm.
I know Baba Akima and Brother DJ have been on your program, and you can check them out on YouTube on that particular program. So Us Lifting Us, which is the Economic Development Cooperative for our people, and they broadcast every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And so those are the programs that we have so far. We had another one, but a sister, she dropped out. But we were trying to grow the network, and I'm glad that we found a vehicle to help increase our listenership, you know, and touch more people. So we're really looking forward to this future relationship with Time for Awakening.
Well, me and Brother Richard are glad to have you as a part of the Time for Awakening family. And I'm quite sure it'll be interesting dialogue here in some of the other programs. I've heard your program, and our listening audience is going to be really excited to hear your program, which will be coming, and it'll be a different view for Time for Awakening because your program airs in the daytime. So,
right. We air from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. And if you can't listen live, you could still go to the blogtalkradio.com/Motherland Media and check out the archives. But pretty soon you'll check out the archives right there on Time for Awakening.
Brother Oshie, you mentioned about what happened to black media in Milwaukee.
Yeah. And that's happening everywhere.
Exactly. That was a part of a plan ever since that Telecommunications Act of the Clintons, I think in 1996, where black, especially conscious talk, disappeared from major cities, smaller cities, even small towns. And it was replaced, if not replaced, like what you said, in Milwaukee, replaced with Elvis Presley. But in most cities, it's replaced with a lot of laughing and joking in the mornings with Tom Joyner. And Steve Harvey, important issues going on in the black communities, and they replace it with 6 days a week of satires and Amos and Andy and laughing and joking. So, that's why we do what we do, and I can see that's why you do what we do. So it's best that we form a fist. Instead of having fingers out there in a glove, we can form a fist to hit even harder. So, again, I'm glad to have you as a part of the Time for Awakening family.
Yeah, I agree. Number one, I've asked this question on my program consistently. Is there another program, not on like Blog Talk, but is there a program on satellite radio that will speak to the issues that are affecting our people from an African-centered perspective? I know there's none on commercial radio, because even if you own commercial radio, it'll be hard for you to get a lot of advertisers if you're coming that hard, if you're talking about not only what European Caucasians have done to us, but you're talking about also about what we are doing to ourselves, and particularly if you're talking about the so-called power structure or the so-called Negroocracy or those who are in position, and you're calling them out, calling them into question. Because I agree with you when you said earlier, I was listening to your previous broadcast with Ray Winbush.
Okay.
And I've known Ray Winbush for a good many years, good brother who's now in Baltimore. I remember when he was at Fisk in university and of course his book on reparations. And he was saying, all of the stuff that we can do that we aren't doing because we have these gatekeepers, and you have some of us who have wherewithal who can make some things happen, but they don't, out of fear. I think that's a big issue. So on commercial radio, like here in Atlanta, they have a talk radio, but it's owned by CBS. So as a consequence, I'm quite sure those brothers can't be as hard as they would like to be, or definitely should be, because they're owned by CBS. And of course, they still stick to the politics of the day of getting the vote out, of who's going to be the mayor, this, that, and the other. My program doesn't deal with that because there's not a lot of programs that deal with the issue of independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. That's what we talk about. In fact, we say there is no, really, there is no other conversation. Every other conversation is moot because that's the, you know, that's what we need to talk about. And that's what we need to begin to formulate in ideas and concepts of how we're going to do that. That's what we need to develop the programs and the education to make that happen. You know, when you see what's been happening, especially these last few weeks, you know, shouldn't it tell you, brothers and sisters, finally stop hoping and praying and wishing and legislating and sitting in and voting to try to make these Caucasians act right, do right, be right? It has never happened. It's not happening now, and it ain't going to happen. So stop it. Let us come together, close rank, pool resources, and do for ourselves, regardless of whatever political philosophy we have, theological philosophy we may have, economic conditions that we have, whatever. Let us make that turn. Because to me, it's either we do that, either we unify. In fact, wasn't there a piece where they had Puffy in there when Brock first ran, Vote or Die? Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Vote or Die. Hell with that. It's Unite or Die. And that's real. Either we unify or we die. And that's real.
And, you know, that's the and just in how you phrase it, especially moving now to sovereignty from freedom. Right. It seems, Brother O'Shea, that the question about broadcasting media or media, black media, being taking an advocacy position compared to a reactionary position is where we've moved to. And every time we've had mediums, and this is a continuous historical position, right? When black newspapers of the 19th century taking an advocacy position around freedom, eventually had to shut down. And then, Brother Elliot was saying here, utilizing the small radio stations through the 60s that were organizing tools around political power. And then eventually by the 90s, shutting them down. And here we now have not only just, we moved into another era in relationship to, as you say, closing ranks, talking about it's more now than ever. Those of us who recognize this, we have to be about sovereignty.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, brother. Go ahead, brother.
Otherwise, do we always believe that we got to be at the whim and behest of Caucasians, who has never proven to never have our best interests at heart? In fact, Malcolm said it best, or whoever, of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our resources. Look at the history of the European in relationship to us. Be objective, be historical, be truthful. And you will say, you know, bump them. We have to come together.
You know, the more and more we keep our eye on things going on and are conscious of things going on, just like that little clip that I play in the beginning of the program with John Henry Clark talking about history as a clock that tells people their cultural time of day. Well, that's, you can use that for both of us, for both our people and for these other folks. Now, we see the stuff that happened in Charlottesville over the weekend. I fully believe that these things are going to happen more and more, because we can see that this country and the government that we live under is imploding. Now, it might not happen tomorrow. It might not happen next week. But it's eventually going to happen, because the way that this country was set up was totally against any type of righteous principles, period. Woven into the DNA of this country is white supremacy and white hegemony. It's woven into the fabric of this country.
Yeah.
So you can't, the only outcome is something horrible and negative. what we have to realize as a people, that it's time for us, because I listened to some of the reports today on the television, and they went to some blacks that asked them their opinions on what was going on in Charlottesville. And some of the ones was, oh, I'm surprised. It was an older gentleman. Said, I've been living here 65 years. I've never seen this. They asked a woman that was, I think she was taking her kids to get their hair cut, because she was outside of a mall. She said, I'm taking my children to get a haircut. Look at this. What is this? You know, either our people got to wake up or something is wrong. You've got to realize that these things are going to happen more and more. It's time for us to start developing ways, just like you said, Brother Oshie, sovereignty, independence, and self-reliance is our people's only salvation. We can't latch on to a burning house. It's time for us to leave the house. I don't want to get buckets and try to put the fire out, because it's already an inferno. You've got to leave the house. Make other preparations. It's time. It's been time. It's past time for us to start making moves to not only govern ourselves, but to be independent. And we can practice while we're here. When I say practice while we're here, it's ways that we can do things while we're here to start learning how to govern ourselves the right way. And I'm not talking about Eurocentric style of government, because we see too much of that. We see our people that have gotten to these seats of so-called power that turn around and act like Europeans with blackface on. And they double-cross their communities. They say they're representing black communities, but they represent white interests. I'm not talking about that. Those people need to be exposed. And the more and more we can expose them, because if you listen to popular black media, the talk programs that they have out there, they cater to black politicians. But it's time for those people to be exposed, because they're not representing black people or black interests. They're representing white folks and white interests. We talked last week, Richard, about that Senate Bill 702, which they got a companion bill in the House that says that speech against Jews, any type of negative speech or talk about divestment, can be a felony, can turn into a felony. That's even against this country's constitution. But it seems to be flying by in the House and Senate with flying colors. It got bipartisan support, and black people have supported this bill. So what interests are they representing? See, it's things like that that really need to be called out. But what I want to get you and Rich's perspective on is this incident that happened down in Charlottesville. Now, I'll say this, and then I'm going to turn the mic over to Richard and to you, Oshie.
Okay.
That I see something different here, and I know that black folks have seen it. If we look back during our ancestors' period when they were dealing with these white terrorists, because we've always dealt with domestic terrorists. They want to run around and talk about all these other people outside the country are terrorists. Let's deal with the ones here, because they've been terrorizing our people since we've been on these shores. The only difference is, with the domestic terrorists of our father's time or grandfather's time, they would run around with hoods on. So you really wouldn't know who they were. Because when we went to town or whatever, and sometimes we went to the general store or seen the sheriff, he was one of those guys. So he would put a hood over his head so you wouldn't know him. But you notice now, with these alt-right and Klan rallies what happened down there in Charlottesville, it's no hoods being worn. It's no hoods. The people come right out there so you can see their face. Which lets me know two things. Number one, these white folks is either working in their own business or comfortable going back to work the next day. Comfortable knowing they're not going to be fired. There's not going to be any repercussions or anything like that. Because they're comfortable showing their faces. It's later for the hoods. They're right out there letting you know exactly how they feel, where they stand, and who they are. And they're letting black folks know it right up front. They might go out there and see their coworker in the rally. He don't care whether you see him. He's letting you know what in your face how he's always felt about you. You might have thought Bobby Joe or Billy so-and-so was all right. but he got a little a wake-up call for you. Brother Richard, how do you feel about this? And then I will want to bring Brother Oshie. And we got a couple callers on. I'm going to get them involved. But go ahead, Brother Richard.
Yeah, I'll just say this. We have to make sure that we recognize that the this white nationalism is a reaction within this white supremacy within the global white system, a system of white domination, I believe. Because if you look, they were concerned about the elections in France, about the far right winning the election. They were concerned about the far right in Britain. They were concerned about the far right in Germany in relationship to having utilizing the tools, the political tools, and winning based off of the transition that the global system is, European system is in. So I think that this, you know, maybe placing it in a context, and I'm looking for feedback from y'all in relationship to that, that this is something, though we, and it's always been, I mean, here, that's what the Civil War was fought for, right? Whites against whites, you know, there are certain types of white nationalism, one that was covert and subtle called globalism or financial in one sense, or the northern part, and then one agrarian and aggressive, you know, and with no bones about the question about white supremacy. So I think that we need to, you know, I would contextualize this because you see the who is getting hurt, even though we're projecting our experience of once again telling white folks, these guys is serious. They ain't playing. And so that's one part. And the other part, that how systemic this is, because we have said before about the whole point of the FBI said that they were investigating white supremacists that were becoming a part of the police departments around the country. Right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is not something that just happening, you know, we're looking at the rallies and seeing the contests that they're having. And I say that because the question is still on our side of the chessboard of, you know, as you both have said, what do we enroll in this? Do we buy into this? And the only way we can protect ourselves is creating some infrastructure that just do that. And I'll just leave that as my first volley, looking for feedback, because I think we should look at it as a challenge within the global transition of the Eurocentric Western political and economic order, and Trump and what's his name, Macron from Macron from France, because you remember the thing that he said in relationship to Africa,
yeah,
that it was, you know, their challenges because they're not civilized. Mm-hmm. Well, doesn't that take us back to the 19th century as far as the language? And that ain't no thing, new thing. And aren't they appeasing Trump and France and Britain with BritEx appeasing to those ultra right constituencies? So that's where I'll start at. You know, listening, I wanted to hear what Brother Oshie had to say.
Thank you, Brother Richard and Brother Elliot. Neely Fuller said, if you do not understand white supremacy, how it functions, how it operates, everything else you think you understand will only confuse you. And me, Brother Oshie, I maintain that we are so confused in our confusion, that's how confused we is. A lot of us don't have a damn clue. In fact, many of our people just want to find a comfortable, cozy niche or corner in white supremacy. And so many of our people defend it. They support it because they're doing fine. I got mine because what European Caucasians, in fact, that's how I label it. I just don't call it white supremacy because, number one, they're not white and we're not black. They're not white. They're European, they're Caucasian. But they developed the idea of whiteness. They use that as a collective group. Yes, they said we're Germans, we're Irish, we're Italians, we're French, and we fight amongst ourselves, but we're going to come together when it comes to those who are outside of us, and we're going to be white. And we're going to make that the standard barrier. And of course, we, hating the fact that we have been trained to hate the fact that we're Africans. In fact, we even hated the fact that we were black, because you couldn't call nobody black when I was coming up. I'm almost 65 years old, and I remember distinctively you called somebody black. It's just like calling them the N-word.
It was fighting words.
Exactly. I didn't want to be black, you know. See, so, but then, of course, in the mid-60s, the late-60s, then now it's black. But we didn't understand we shouldn't have been black. We should be African, because that's who and what we are. But we've been trained to hate and feel embarrassed and ashamed about being African, you see, because of white supremacy, European, Caucasian supremacy, racism, and privilege, which is just, as Brother Richard said, is a fact. It is a global phenomenon. This is happening globally.
And you know, Brother O'Shea, the one thing that you said that in that, because even what we see in Charlottesville that I think we need to, in relationship to identity, here are these people saying that they're willing to protest to maintain the memorials of their identity historical monuments.
Right.
And when it gets to being African, you look at what we have done to even create. We can't even, in relationship to what you're saying as far as dealing with us being African, we can't even push or advocate and substantiate that our history be an integral part of the storytelling and historical narrative in America.
Right.
You know,
right.
We couldn't even do, we can't do that.
No.
From a political impact. But here they're saying, I don't want you to move my statue. And that's, you could see the liberal ones say, well, if you move the statue, then what you going to do? Like that was Virginia's, what was that, the University of Virginia,
mm-hmm.
which right. Thomas Jefferson, what you want to close down the University of Virginia too? So though they may say, I might agree with y'all about the Robert E. Lee statue, but how far does this go? But
see, that's what you know, Richard. That's
where
what
we go.
That exactly, because that's what you're. That's really what's behind this. You know, in this age that we live in now, with social media and everything out there, see, the United States always want to put on, and especially the Europeans now, they want to put on an image like they're dignified. They don't want that crazy cousin in the attic to rear his head. He's still a family member, but he's a crazy cousin. I'm talking about these ones running around talking about the alt-right, the Klan members, because they still get supported by politicians on both sides of the aisle. They still support them. In fact, you got two sitting in the cabinets now and probably others, but I'm talking about two open ones that you know, which is Sessions and Bannon.
Odegaard.
So, you know, come on here. Don't hand me that stuff about, oh, this is embarrassing. I hear the governor of Virginia, oh, this is embarrassing. You got this going on. Like, they don't really, they know these people out here. They're their family members. They just don't want them being so overt like this. They don't want that. And it's apropos that it's happening in Charlottesville. Just like you said, the home of that pedophile slave owner, Thomas Jefferson, racist pedophile slave owner that was one of their presidents, and that other one, James Monroe, another old racist slave owner. That, and you know what? That same problem that was faced by our ancestors back then is faced by our people now.
Yeah.
And dealing with the sickness of our people under white supremacy, it has caused a sickness in our thinking. Look at what happened when Monroe, who authored that Monroe Doctrine, where they didn't want Europe dictating to them anymore, when they sent some of our ancestors back to the continent and they established Liberia.
Mm-hmm.
They went over there with the same, with a European mentality, but they were black men. They had such a European mentality
They established a capital, like Liberia didn't have a capital already, but they established a capital and called it Monrovia, which is named after that, named after that old racist slaveholder president. So our people went over there with the wrong mentality. But you can't really fault them because they were sick. Some of our people are sick. And when you realize that you have a sickness, then you can do something about it. Well, it's time for our people to do something about this, Brother Richard and Brother Oshie.
Because
there's doctors out here. There's doctors out here that can help our people.
I hope you write that as a sickness. Because Brother Oshie was saying that even when, and you said also, when we look at the political, and I'm call it neo-colonial state elected officers that control in local northern cities, because we got a lot of black politicians, right? We got a lot of people who are in particular places, but they're not advocating issues that relate to African people. You know, so is it a sickness, or have they actually said that they're willing to support this system of global white supremacy and it's as a system because of the benefit they get? But I'll back up to you. You know, y'all might know, y'all know better than me. because we're gonna have to deal with them.
Yeah.
Well, we all have perspectives on this, but when we listen to our scholars,
right,
our historians, our ancestors, our elders, those men and women who understood the situation for what it is and the impact of European Caucasian supremacy, racism, and privilege on our everyday lives, they didn't give us that direction. It wasn't go along to get along. It wasn't that we can somehow legislate this. We can somehow prey on this. We can somehow sing Kumbaya and we shall overcome and all this stuff, you know, or we have these little bitty setbacks. No, let me say this. Everything, and Dr. Clark said it best, everything that the Caucasian has done, everything was done for their benefit and their benefit alone. They give you the illusion of inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Our people to continue to try to beg and plead for these Caucasians to act right and do right is a pathological denial of reality and history. They don't want to deal with it because, you know, I always say it like this. I saw a quote, and they quoted, they gave it to Franz Fanon, dealing with cognitive dissonance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that Europeans, Caucasians, have a core belief. And that core belief is that they are superior.
Right.
They, as Dr. Clark, once again, I quote Dr. Clark a lot. I just like when I heard the history piece, I was smiling because I love Dr. John Henry Clark. You know, but, you know, dealing with this history, they can't deal with it. That's why they suffer from cognitive dissonance. They have a core belief that they are superior. And anything that you can bring that proves otherwise, and there's a whole bunch of bona fide, factual, stands up to all kinds of scrutiny information that proves that Caucasians are not superior, but they dismiss it. They ignore it because it makes them feel uncomfortable. It gives them the feeling of cognitive dissonance. But unfortunately, we suffer from cognitive dissonance as well. We believe we're inferior. And any of us who bring the knowledge and information to us, our people reject it because they've been trained to believe that we're inferior because we can't get to where Caucasians are. We measure ourselves by them and what they have done. And everything they have done has been to denigrate us, demean us, degrade us. I mean, you know, even today, after Sheikh Anta Diop, back in over 40 years ago, proved that the ancient Kemetic people, the ancient Egyptians, were African people. But still today, if you turn on A&E, National Geographic, the Learning Channel, PBS, or whatever, if they show a dramatization or an illustration of ancient times, the people going to look Caucasian. But if they show somebody serving somebody, exactly, they're going to look African. They're going to look black. Because what they, what these Caucasians have always wanted to do, to consistently put into our minds that we ain't never been nothing but a slave. In fact, we were never slaves. We are not slaves. We were captives. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master, and we have never submitted. We fought on the continent, we fought in the Middle Passage, and we fought in this hemisphere. Over 400 recorded revolts of our people fighting, and we continue to fight today. So, you know, we're fighting an evil system. This is a system that defames us, denies our humanity. But see, but because we don't understand this, sometimes we blame ourselves for what we do. We don't understand that why, if we kill ourselves in these communities, why we behave and act the way we do, why we have such disdain for ourselves and to be African, is because we've internalized the European racism into self-hate. You see? So, you know, we have a lot of work to do, brother. That's why programs such as yours and what we bring are so necessary, even though they won't be on commercial radio. You know,
well, we're gonna get into as many as outlets as we can. And listen,
and that's great.
I want to go to some of these calls because they've been waiting a while. But you're listening to Time for Awakening this evening, and we're debuting one of our upcoming hosts that's going to be debuting his program on Time for Awakening Media, African Perspectives with Brother Oshi. He's part of the Motherland Media Group that's becoming part of the Time for Awakening family. He's with us tonight to kind of preview his program. In the second hour, we're going to have the president of Black Talk Media Project and a member of the New Abolitionist Movement, Brother Scotty Reed, will be joining us in conversation. But let's try to get a couple of these callers in here that's been holding. 267 area code, 267.
Yes, how are you, Brother Elliot?
How are you, sir?
Brother Richard, how are you, sir?
Good.
And how's your guest, sir? How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, dear brother. Thank you.
That's good, brother. You know, when you talked about the European and his survival, the first person, a scholarly woman that came to my mind is Dr. Frances Cress Welding. Dr. Frances Cress Welding, her writings, was telling us that the European in his mind is losing every day. He's fighting for his life because of what you, myself, Richard, what we contain in our DNA and in our melanin, that germ, that life germ, that keeps the black man on the planet and woman reproducing, which they can't do. They cannot produce a brown, black baby, and we reproduce our color through them. He's fighting for his life on this planet. He does not have the melanin. He does not have the wherewithal to be around much longer. But getting back to this Virginia incident that this took place, our people should never be blinded that we accept it. He will never accept you in his social equality. The people who have came on this planet during our lifetime in America to warn us of him, from David Walker all the way down to Marcus Garvey, to Booker T. Washington, all the way down to Elijah Muhammad, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King. Whether we listened to them or not, they had the message. Whether we don't think we had the blueprint or not, we still do have the research within the black think tank that's still around in certain parts of America around the world to see what we have to do and what we have to do. But the interesting thing about what happened this recently is that Trump has been cornered recently. And I was looking at Jerry Reed on Meet the Press, and I also saw on MSNBC. And her thing was is that not only is Trump revealing to you what his ideology are, but the people with his ideology are all in the White House, like they always have been in the White House. But the thing is I was thinking that he's going to be caught into a position to I was thinking about when how I found out about David Duke is when the second time that Jesse Jackson ran for the highest office in the land, president, 84, Dave Duke came out. He ran for office, and they would say he was a former classman, he's a grand wizard. Okay. So Jesse runs, he's gathering support. People don't think he got as far as he did, and things of that nature. But the interesting thing was that once he hooked up with Louis Farrakhan, he made his, also made a student made a statement about the Jews in Hymetown. The folks said to him, a reporter caught him in that situation. They came to Jesse Jackson, listen, you want to continue running for this country as president, you got to repudiate Louis Farrakhan. And you got to apologize for that statement talking about the Jews in Hamilton. I said to myself, if they go to Trump and say, you got to let Banton go, and you got to take that website off of the alt-right in the White House, I said to myself, will he repudiate and fire Banton? He can fire you now. He's known to fire you. Or he will carry on with the day's agenda. Because what David Duke said to him, while speaking and interviewing, he was actually there in Virginia, was, if Donald Trump, and we're following the philosophies and principles of his agenda of making America great, if he turns his back on us, he will lose our support. Mm. So they're letting you know they're going to push for him, and all the White House people who are Republicans, those senators and stuff, like Lindsey Graham, all singing out their little Twitter, like, oh, I ain't with him. They doing a moonwalk backwards now. They doing a Michael Jackson backwards. I ain't with him. He's by himself. Knowing that they're there with the House and the Senate to push everything they want in there to keep us down. Now, my question to you, sir, is that will he tell and take down the website of Banton and let him go and get rid of the alt-right? Or will he just let things go right like he wants it to go?
It really wouldn't make any difference whether he got rid of him or not, Tim. But I'll let Brother Oshie throw his answer in. And thanks for your call, man.
Right.
Thank you, dear brother. It doesn't make any difference. Although Donald Trump has been overt in terms, and it's an embarrassment to the Caucasians who want to maintain dominance and control because it exposes them.
You know? Yeah.
So it's an embarrassment to them.
Exactly.
That is so in your face,
mm-hmm.
and the ugliness of it. There's another Caucasian lady after the Trayvon Martin situation and other situations where Caucasians, particularly Caucasian authority, police officers, sheriffs, whatever, have killed our people unarmed and they get away with it, you know. So she was having workshops with other Caucasians, strictly Caucasians, and what she noticed, and she coined this phrase, they're fragile. Caucasian or white fragility. They're fragile. They can't handle the truth. They can't handle the truth because they want to believe that they're good, moral people, that they're good people. They don't want to believe the ugly truth of them. The thieves, the robbers, the murderers.
Yeah, I think it's a little denial going on, Brother Oshie.
Yeah, oh, big time.
And they have to support a system that they created.
Exactly.
I mean,
that's the key.
Let go, what they got?
That's the key.
Right.
Let me. I'm gonna pull a couple more of these calls in because they're kind of backing up. Let's go to 646. 646.
Yes. Good afternoon, my good brothers.
How are you, sir?
I'm excellent. Listen. Let's be very, very clear. Yesterday was nothing more than a display of white-on-white crime with some Negro fiends supporting their daddy. That's all it was.
Will you say some Negro fiends?
Yeah, you had your Negro fiends that was there trying to protect the damn empire talking about this nonsense. We want rights. We want to be respected. We built this country. Listen, you can't even defend your black ass. They folks are at the point right now, if they said we're going to start killing some of y'all Negroes, what we going to do? We ain't prepared to defend ourselves, honestly. There's a few of us that may be able to survive a couple of hours, but on the whole, we're not able to defend ourselves. And on top of that, you got other nationalities who going to turn on your black ass. But the quickness, you have no allies in this equation. The Mexican, the Dominican, the Jamaican, ain't none of them are allies in this game, baby. We keep on thinking about this democratic nonsense about inclusion and all of this foolishness. No, if you are an authentic African whose family was brought over here and captured in these slave ships by this pale-skinned devil, then you are by yourself here. You have no allies. You have no friends. Because the thing boils down to this. Their job is they want to protect their asses. We the only ones who want to integrate with everybody to do what? Get closer to the white daddy. That's it. It's that plain and simple. They showed you yesterday what they think of their own. They will fight one another based on what principle. See, that's what we don't understand. Is the alt-right the principle of America, or is it these clouds who talk about America as a democracy and all of this other nonsense? Is that the true principle of America, and where do we as a people fit in that? We better wake up. And we better smell the coffee real, real quick. Because when they get ready to do their thing, we ain't going to be in no position whatsoever. Matter of fact, a sister got a little upset with me today because I asked the question that maybe one of y'all three great Africans could answer. And I know your boy from Philadelphia, if he's on the line, he may try and answer it. If there's a situation tomorrow, and the brothers and the sisters of the Nation of Islam was under attack, would they, as the supposed most unified group that we have in this country, other than these pork chop chicken eater coalitions and churches and conferences, whatever the hell you want to call them, will they be able to defend themselves from the onslaught of white supremacy? Do they have a contingency plan to get their members together and do the necessary thing to safeguard their women and children? Let's be truthful about it. We as a people are in no position whatsoever to protect our black asses from these crackers. Because you know why? We're too busy trying to integrate and level. And we don't realize that they are number one, our perpetual enemy. The person who made the statement close to 40 years ago don't even believe that statement no more. Hakeem Madhubuti, in his book From Plants to Planet, said that the white man was our perpetual enemy. I asked him that question a year or so ago. Did he still feel that way? And no, he don't feel that way. I guess he's suffering from what my brother call the grandpa syndrome. He's going to have him some grandchildren now, and he wants to see them grow up and be a part of the white man's society. So let's keep it real. We got to figure out how we're going to be able to defend ourselves. You know what I mean? Because these white people not playing, man. They strictly about the business at hand of hurting us. And they go do our thing. Look at, did you see the picture of the brothers that had his head all bloodied up?
Yeah, I saw it.
This one dumb Nick, and that's the Nick O.P. that I'm talking about. You ain't got nobody there to defend you other than some crackers. So what are you doing with your black ass out there? What is your position in this? How is this going to make your life and your family better? How is it going to make your race better? What is it going to give you other than acceptance by the beast? And what the beast do? Turn around and whip your ass. And who is there to protect and defend them? Were there any black folks there to protect them and defend them? Huh?
You know the answer to that, Jay. Listen, I want to thank you as always for your contributions, man.
My brother and your host and the brother that's coming on to host the new show, I think he understands clearly what's being said. You know,
almost definitely.
I didn't hear him talking about nothing about Europeanism and getting along with these filthy pale skinned devils. So I look forward to his show. Okay,
wait, Jay, before you go, Jay.
Thank you.
Jay, before you go, what time is those buses leave? Because I know that you're going to be on the bus. What time the buses leave?
No. I'm waiting from orders from Brother James when Brother James calls in tonight. Remember, 773 when you see him. Because, you know, everybody on a lot of these radio stations get upset when James start talking about genocide and all of that. But I bet you now they may start thinking about what James been saying about genocide.
What?
Because it showed you yesterday, right?
I hear you. But Jay, you didn't tell me what time is that bus leaving. You know the bus I'm talking about. You going down. Ain't Sharpton have got the buses going down there.
Don't get me talking about Perm Daddy and Uncle Jesse.
You're not going to be on the bus, Jay. Jay, you're not going to be on the bus.
I keep on telling you, man, my feet will not be hurting for no Negro nonsense, man. I just, like I said, I want the pork chop chicken either to get up in church the following day and tell his congregation, let's take all our money out of these white banks and put it in a black bank and do what we have to do for our people to build our own community and open up them damn churches and teach our kids and do the necessary things to survive.
I say,
you know what I mean? But no, we got to talk about impeaching Donald Trump. Now, how silly are Negroes that this bastard done been in office? Now, think about this. He been in office for 6 months, haven't been able to do anything. Why? Because of white folks. Has nothing to do with black folks. And we worrying about impeaching them. Don't you think these white folks got him under enough control to keep him from really, really destroying the country? It's a game. And we in the middle trying to be a part of some sort of game being played on us to keep us at the bottom of the barrel saying that we woke. You ever hear some Negro talking about we woke? Get ready for impeachment. The boy Mark Thompson. I tell you, if you ever get a chance, listen to Mark Thompson on Sirius Radio if you want a good damn laugh. Because let me tell you something. That is one funny Negro. As he says, let's get woke and impeach Trump. That's his opening line. Now, anytime you can follow some BS like that, you's a damn fool. But if you want some comedy relief, he's better than Sharpton and the rest of them when it comes down. And listen, he beat up their white folks. That's the only reason I listened to him, because I like when he starts yelling and screaming at white folks to let them know that I'm not your slave. You know, I understand you're my daddy, but I'm not your slave. I do have the right to be rebellious because I know you can't beat me out in the open. Hotel,
Jay, thank you for your call,
hotel,
man.
Hotel.
Let's go to 678, area code 678. Let's put them back on hold. They must have stepped away. Let's go to 215.
Hey, Brother Elliot, how you doing?
How are you, sir?
Fine. How you, Brother Richard? How you doing?
How you doing now?
All right.
Hey, say yeah, welcome. Say welcome to Brother Oshie. Say welcome to Brother Oshie. There's a new program coming on Time for Awakening called African Perspectives.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that Elliot? I'm sorry.
Brother Oshie is with us.
I'm sorry. Hi, Brother Oshie. How you doing, my brother? I'm sorry.
Hey, my brother. I'm fine, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Our praises be to Allah. Yeah, Brother Oshie and Brother Elliot, Brother Rich, I heard Jay just now. He made some good points. You know, like I said, My only problem with Jay, like I say, Jay is they want to take these digs at the Nation of Islam. Like I always say, Jay can say what he wants, and I respect the brother, but I'm going to say what I want. You know, whether you like the Nation or not, the Nation has been the vanguard for our people. And as far as the Nation protecting themselves, ask the families of those dead white cops that the Nation has killed over the years. I mean, Nation of Islam, white cops have killed members of the Nation, and the Nation have killed a few white cops. One happened right up in New York where Jay lived at back in 72. They threw a white cop right out the window. And that's a fact. Because he came in there trying with guns, trying to disrespect the master, and he got thrown right out the window. So if anybody can defend our people and stuff, it's the Nation of Islam. Are the Nation of Islam perfect? No. They got their shortcomings like a lot. Like nobody, I don't think no human being or no group in of itself is perfect. But you can be damn one thing. The Nation of Islam ain't going to sit back and be saying, praise Jesus, looking for some wonder stuff out the sky by white folks attacking. We're going to fight back. Like you said, like what Robert Williams said and stuff, Brother Elliot, black men with guns and stuff, believe it, the Nation will fight back. If they're aggressed upon, they're going to fight back. And that's the bottom line. And again, if you disbelieve what I say, ask those families of those dead white cops that found out the hard way. Okay? Plain and simple. But, you know, let me say this, Brother Ocean, Brother Elliot, and Brother Richard, the events in Charlottesville, Virginia yesterday. Again, it's no accident these things are happening and continue to happen. Just the previous week, you had the mosque. Remember the mosque in Minnesota, Brother Elliot? They got firebombed.
Mm-hmm.
All right. See, white people's hatred. That's why when I see stupid Negroes and ignorant Muslims talking when they support Trump, I'm saying, why would you support an individual who has created such a climate? Now, we all know Donald Trump didn't create racism. Racism was here long, and hatred, white hatred was here long before Trump was born, and they'd be here long after the devil's dead. But the point I'm saying is that Trump has created such a toxic environment that white people, what Trump has did, even more so than Reagan and Bush, he made these bigots feel more comfortable. That's why white people come down with their racism. They more in your face now. Trump have emboldened these bigots where they think they can say what they want out of their mouth to black people, do whatever they want to do. And that's the difference now. And that's why that mosque got firebombed in Minnesota. This is why what happened in Charlottesville yesterday. These white racists, white bigots, whatever you want to call them, supremacists, because they're not supreme, but white trash, whatever you want to call them, they feel emboldened by Donald Trump. But one of the things that I kind of chuckled me, well, I ain't going to say I chuckled me, Elliot, but when I watched Reverend Sharpton this morning, because you brought up Sharpton, you were teasing Jay about going up to New York. Well, I mean, to Washington for that march on Washington. Well, when Reverend Sharpton was on Politics Nation this morning, he made a point that just shows the mentality, what we're dealing with. And that's what you has always said, Brother Elliot, you and Brother Richard, we and Brother Oshie, that we as black people, you know, we got to understand the mentality of who we're dealing with. Sharpton said, recall back in 1991, he was leading the march up in I think, Crown Heights or whatever, and the white boy stabbed him in his chest, remember? Sharpton went and visited this devil in jail. And this is what the white boy told Sharpton, according to Reverend Al. He said, the white boy told him, said, Reverend Sharpton, the reason why I tried to kill you, because if I had killed you, I would have been a hero in my community. You hear that, Elliot?
Mm-hmm.
He said he would have been a hero had I killed you. I would have been a hero. And this is the type of mentality that you're dealing with. These people are evil by nature. They bloodthirsty people. Any black man who they see as a potential threat against their white dominance. And we all know Al got his shortcomings like everybody else. But the point is the fact that they even view Sharpton, even with his shortcomings, as a threat to their so-called white dominance and stuff. This is why every black leader we done had, male or female, heroes and sheroes, these devils have either out in character assassinated or in some cases assassinated via Malcolm X, Dr. King, Marcus, the brother down in Mississippi.
Megan Evers. You know,
Mega Evers, thanks, Brother Elliot. I mean, so we have seen clearly what these people have did to our people. So these devils are evil, hateful people and stuff. And this is why we have to wake up. And this is why I agree with Jay on. We have got to wake up and realize these devils are not playing. I agree with Jay 100% on that one. These people are not playing and stuff. Like I said, they feel emboldened under Trump now. And you're going to see more and more attacks like you saw in Charlottesville. You're going to see more attacks on Muslims, more attacks on black people. So we definitely have to get our act together. And this is why I say we as black people, Brother Elliot and Brother Oshia and Brother Richard, we face such a double dynamic in this country because we deal with these white bigots, whether it be racist white thug cops, whether it be white mobs, like you saw down in Charlottesville, which I've been in Charlottesville many times. My dad is from Virginia, so I'd have been in Charlottesville so many times, I forgot the number. But the point I'm saying is that we deal with all that dynamic on that, and then in many of our communities across America, we as black people, to be just perfectly honest, and you and Sister Sarah touched on it, Brother Elliot Fusco, we got to deal with these simple Negroes in our community that are doing all this crazy stuff, home invasions, robbing elderly people, you know, shooting up and down the street with children can't even play outside. See, this is the kind of foolishness. That's why I say, if you wonder any black man or woman is saying today, all we got to do with these racist devils on one end, you got to do with these stupid Negroes on the other end. So it's any wonder why you find a black man that's saying today. By all measures, we all should be damn near insane. You know, the fact that you are still saying, Elliot, you, Brother Ocean, you, Brother Richard, and I think I would like to consider myself a sane person. The fact that we're still saying that speaks volumes in itself, you know?
That means there's hope, right?
Yeah. No, most definitely.
Brother Ocean, I'm sorry.
I said that means there's hope.
Yes, sir, brother. It is hope and stuff. And this is why I always, you know, backtrack Brother Ocean, what Brother Elliot was saying, like when Brother... Let me get away from these dogs. Every time I stop talking on the phone, these dogs stop talking. Let me get away from these dogs, man. They make so much noise. But can you hear me now, Brother Elliot?
Yeah, I hear you.
I do apologize. These dogs, man, they are just, oh, God. Well, anyway, I for example, Brother Elliot, when Brother... ex-car from Chicago, he'd be so pessimistic about our condition. I take the position, Brother Ocean, that Brother Elliot always take. Sure, our people face a foe that's formidable. But I'm like Brother Elliot, I'm a believing person, Brother Ocean, and I believe we're going to get through this. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be some struggles. It's going to be some bloodshed. It's going to be, you know, a lot of things. But I believe the Creator didn't bring us this far. I'm a Muslim. I believe in Almighty God a lot, but it's the same whether you're Christian. There's only one God. He's called by many names. So whatever faith, if you believe in African religion, Islam, Christianity, Judaism, it doesn't matter. It's the supreme being. And I'm like Brother Elliot, Brother Oshie. I don't believe that the Creator brought us this far through slavery, through Harriet Tubman. So join the truth, all them Harolds and Sherylls, for us to just give up now and say, woe is us. The white man just going to slaughter us. I'm not buying that. We done been through too much, and I believe the Creator didn't bring us this far for us, for the fellas now. I believe, like Brother Elliot, we're going to make it. I do believe we're going to make it and stuff. In the end, we will be able to, you know, set our own course and set our own self-determination, minus without white people's support. I believe we're going to be able to do this. We're going to take strong-minded black men and women to roll up our sleeves and go to work, but I believe it's definitely going to be done. It's not going to happen. We can't just pray for one to get, like Dr. King said, for a loaf of bread, a father, a sky, no wonder bread. We got to roll up our sleeves and go to work, and once you take steps towards the Creator, he'll take the other steps towards us. And I do believe, Brother Oshie, the hope that you just mentioned is definitely possible, and I definitely believe with all my heart and soul that it's going to happen. And I wouldn't say it if I didn't believe it, Brother Oshie.
I say.
You know, that's the way I feel, you know. But I just want to, you know, thank y'all brothers for the time. And I'll close this last remark about the idiot that's in the White House. You know, again, these typical white people. Now, you saw white bigots down there running car, you know, taking a car, running over innocent people. You saw them devils out there from the white hate groups and stuff. Instead of him being a man and say, look, I condemn white racism and stuff. Oh, I condemn it on many sides. You idiot. It wasn't on many sides. It was just one side, like it always is, white racism. Call it for what it is. But see, he's typical white people. Trump is typical of them. They never want to condemn them devils when they claim, but he has no problem talking about Islamic phobia, Islamic terrorism and all that kind of stuff. When it comes to white people being caught on the carpet, he want to play the game of many sides. Many sides, my ass. You know, but anyway, thanks for the time, Brother Elliot. I appreciate that. Y'all, and I'll listen for the rest of the show.
All right, Joe. Thank you for your call, man. We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation. We're going to add to the conversation special guest, president of the Black Talk Media Project and member of the New Abolitionist Movement, Brother Scotty Reed, is going to join us to talk about some upcoming events. And you can join the conversation, too. I did several calls on hold, and I'm sorry, but we'll get to you. We'll get to you, and new callers can join in at 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We'll be right back, and you can be a part of the conversation with our new host, upcoming host, the program African Perspectives. Brother Oshie is with us on the line. He's part of the Motherland Media Group that'll be part of the Time for Awakening family. We'll be right back.
Tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency and business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
I transformed a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one of the tangible transformations I've created for entrepreneurs in various industries around the country. If this isn't what you think of when you think of accounting and business consulting, then get ready to take down this invaluable information. Are you an entrepreneur suffering with a stagnating company? Have headache customers, staff, or vendors? Are you rebounding from a loss and need help achieving your unrealized potential? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? Hi, my name is Nataki Kanban. If you're ready to go beyond advising and coaching and get results, then call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions recommend and implement the best comprehensive sales, administrative, human resources, accounting, and operations to help you grow into your vision for yourself and your company. Again, from anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072 or pull us up on your device right now and book your free consultation at www.newbusinesssolutions.com. And just mention you heard this special announcement on Time for an Awakening.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
Welcome back. It's time for an awakening. And tonight, we're in open forum, but we're showcasing our new host, Brother Oshi, a part of the Motherland Media Group. And his program, African Perspectives, will be airing very soon on Time for Awakening, joining the family. He's with us tonight in conversation. And joining us is the president of the Black Talk Media Project and a member of the New Abolitionist Movement. Brother Scotty Reed is with us. Brother Scotty.
Hey, what's good with you, Brother Elliot? And shout out to you're a new family member of Time for Awakening Network, Radio Network, Brother Oshi.
Thank you, my brother. Peace to you.
Peace to you.
Brother Scotty, you know, there's a lot going on. You're involved and been involved, a faithful member of the New Abolitionist Movement. You're a 21st century abolitionist. Talk about what's going on. Because there's a lot of things going on. I think they wanted you to come outside of the country. To some of the countries in Africa to speak about what's going on here, what you're involved in, and to let our people know that slavery never ended. Talk about this as a prelude to the event that's happening, Brother Scotty.
All right. Well, let's talk about, speaking of events, let's talk about current events.
Okay.
I'm sure most of the country, most of the people in the country with access to a television or radio or social media knows where we're down in Charlottesville, Virginia, which is right across the northern border of North Carolina, where Black Talk Media Project and Black Talk Radio Network is based. And what was that all? Let's go to the root of what that was about. People have been trying to describe it many different ways. I did hear for the first time, and Elliot, anybody else, please tell me, when have you ever heard white supremacists being referred to as terrorists engaged in acts of terrorism on network television? I heard that for the first time today, and I'm like, wow, I was kind of like shocked at that very notion. So that's why it's important for us to build these alternative media networks so that we can give our perspective on it. Now, how that whole thing got started, how it came to have that white supremacist terrorist rally, was the removal of General Robert E. Lee, who was a traitor of the United States, who also supported slavery, okay? And we must underline slavery if we're going to talk about Confederates or even these neo-Confederates. And so that was... That park had been renamed to Emancipation Park. The statue is being removed, and that was all due to the efforts of a child. I don't even know the racial classification of the child. I just found out today that a child started a petition. These are all over the South. Anybody that lives in the South or visited the South, these sort of monuments to white supremacy, terrorism, to slavery, to the Confederacy, they're in our public parks, they're at our courthouses, they're in the public square. And I don't understand why it's just that some people can't seem to understand the difference between public and private property. If we're talking about public property, then that means the taxes that I pay when I go into a store, when I go into a business, no matter what color that business is, they collecting taxes to pay to the state, which is then doled out to the county, and then those funds go to maintain monuments to slavery, monuments to technically traitors of the United States of America. This is the CSA, okay? And so that's how they got started in that. I mean, the reason why we felt a need for a new abolitionist movement, which I've been a part of since 5 years ago with the launch of New Abolitionist Radio on the Black Talk Radio Network, that's what it all boils down to. That's the root problem, is slavery in this country. And what we're calling mass incarceration is a tool. It's a tool just that was created, just like white supremacy is a tool that was created, and that is to keep people in slavery. So it's slavery what we're dealing with. That's what the United States Constitution says. You know, they got this movie coming out about the Confederacy, I think a TV series or something on HBO, about if the Confederacy had won, the CSA, Confederate States of America, had won, which means that, you know, they would still be practicing that brutal form of chattel slavery. That's the difference what we're talking about. Chattel, that brutal chattel slavery we picture in our minds of people being whipped out there in the fields, tied to trees, and all of that's still going on, but it's in different forms. It has transformed to a modern version of slavery, so therefore there's the need for a modern abolitionist movement. So, that's what I just think is just really, I don't know how to say this, like preordained or proper, that this rally is going to be a short march, but the rally, which I'll be one of the moderators in broadcasting the rally from Washington, D.C., across the street from that White House that Victims of Slavery built, we'll broadcast it on Black Talk Radio Network, hope to carry the entire 5 hours. But when we traveled there that day, it just seems appropriate that that's going to be the response to what we saw this weekend. Here we had individuals who weren't even alive during the Civil War, may not even have a ancestor that was in the Civil War, but they identify with what those statues and monuments represent, and it represent white supremacy and slavery.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so they know it, and that's why they even though it wasn't, you know, it seemed to be more of those in opposition to white terrorism than it was, you know, these Klans and Nazis and white, what they're calling white nationalism. Look, white nationalism is terrorism in this country. That's what that stands for. So, you know, it's just appropriate that this August 19th rally in Washington, D.C. in Lafayette Park, or Lafayette Square is what it's called, is going to be happening next week. Now, this was planned months ago. You know, August the 19th was picked for a specific reason, because it's Black August, where you know, you got Brother George Jackson and Brother Jonathan Jackson and the Black Guerrilla family and their opposition against legalized slavery and human trafficking. Attica, you know. So, I mean, it's just time. I guess this is the coming out. I don't want to say party. But, yeah, this is like putting the world on notice that a new abolitionist movement exists, because slavery still exists in America. So I'll stop right there if you have any questions.
Brother Richard, jump in, because I know you want to engage Brother Scotty.
No, I you know, the thing with me is placing, and I'm glad that you're doing, you know, what you're doing, because the question about the whole abolitionist movement and what, you know, taking it, its roots, right? So I'm glad that, you know, now, well, let me do it this way. Did I hear you say you're implying that eventually looking towards creating out of the abolitionist movement towards a party process or mechanism?
No. Okay. No, we actually have a person who calls himself an abolitionist. He said that slavery still exists. He said the 13th Amendment legalized it. He works as a prison guard in Alabama. And he said he's seen it, and that it's slavery. And he also turned in a sheriff who, because in the state of Alabama, by their state rules and regulations, that the sheriff gets a certain amount of money to feed his prisoners. And anything left over, he can pocket. And this sheriff was feeding these men and women corn dogs. One corn dog, right, maybe three times a day, and pocketing the rest. And he turned this guy in because that county was under federal, what do they call that? When they come to an agreement, which really doesn't really stop anything, you know, but they were under that federal, they entered into them with police departments.
Yeah, I know what you call consent decree.
Yeah, they were under a consent decree.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he was able to get that sheriff thrown out. Well, he's running for governor of Alabama. He's in the archives. He was interviewed about maybe 3 weeks ago. And he's a Republican, and he wants to build Trump's wall. Okay? Now, this is what I'm speaking for myself as an abolitionist and as a person who is recognized as, you know, I don't want to say leader, because you got to serve in order to lead. So, you know, I've been recognized in this movement as an authority on 21st century slavery and human trafficking. And the way I look at it, I'm a what they call a single issue voter. You know what those are, right? Mm-hmm. You got people, they don't care what party you are as long as you're against abortion. They don't care about no other issue. Hey, are you for or against abortion? And they vote for you based on that. So new abolitionists have to be as single-minded as well, even though many of the ills that's out there in society are we see them as tentacles of slavery. And so we're single issue. I don't care if he's a Republican. I don't care that he want to build Trump wall. You know what I'm saying? What I do care about is he wants to end slavery in his state, and said if he elected governor, that all prisoners, first of all, getting the people out of there that don't belong in there. That's the majority of the prisoners across this country. They haven't violated the rights or liberty or life of anyone else. The United States government, since the black codes of Jim Crow, make people activity illegal and then round up black folks and put them in jail or put them in prison or put them into what we call today prison slavery. So I don't care about, do I want to build Trump's wall? No. But do I want to end slavery? Yes. Does he want to end slavery? Okay. I'm single issue on slavery, so no, we're not trying to build no kind of political party or nothing like that. We're against slavery, and it's an international movement, just like the abolitionist movement pre-1865 was. You know, Elliot mentioned that I have been invited along with Max Parthas, who is the co-host and co-producer of New Abolitionist Radio, to Ghana to speak about abolitionism in Ghana, because their legal system, this is what they wrote in a letter to us, is that their legal system is starting to look a lot like the United States, like Ferguson. We did a series, a year-long series called Ferguson is America, where we go into the data just like the FBI did when they went into Ferguson and show how they was fining the people and giving them tickets and all the different arrests. Well, we would focus on states and break down the data and say, and called our report Ferguson is America. So they're seeing something similar in parts of Africa. And as we have reported, G4S, which is a security company, also provide private security, facilities, detention, all of that. They are the that's a UK-based company, and they are the largest employer in Africa. So, I mean, when I think about the times that I visited a prison because my brother is in there or somebody I knew had a family member in there and I went with them, most of the guards that I saw, I can't speak for everybody everywhere else, only the prisons I went to, but, you know, plenty of African-Americans working on these prison plantations, not as the new slaves, but as the new overseers. So I guess they seeing that in Africa, and they just want us to come out and speak about abolitionism. But I won't be able to go because, you know, I'm tied to the station. And if I go, you know, that means a lot of programming won't get on air. So Max and his wife, who's an abolitionist in her own right, a poetress, by the name of Tribal Rain, she will go in my place. And they are serious because they've already paid for the trip, for the passports and everything. So, I mean, the group that wanted to bring us out have already paid for it. So they serious about their abolitionism.
Yeah. Brother Scotty, let me ask you something. And shift gears a little bit, but it's dealing with our people in modern-day slavery. Everybody on this line here, and I guess the callers also are familiar with the Tuskegee experiment that was done to our ancestors, a government-funded program that local, state, and federal government knew was going on, and it went on for 40 years until something happened. I think some type of funding request came across somebody's desk, and it was leaked to the press. Who knows how long it would have went on if that hadn't happened. But also, it was another program that was funded by Planned Parenthood that went on in North Carolina. And I'm quite sure it went on in other states. But the news kind of broke because it happened in North Carolina about black women.
I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Being forced sterilized.
They went on up into the 80s, man.
Okay.
I was in high school when they ended that program. And they were targeting whites too, man. I mean, they targeted more black people than they did whites, but you know, it was some poor whites that got caught up in that too. But that went on into the 80s, man. I can't say it was Planned Parenthood, but it was a eugenicist movement that had been around for a long time. These are old families. This was like a corporate family. Haynes, the family that started that Haynes brand that Michael Jordan make commercials for and stuff. That was them, man. That was them in these rich, white, wealthy socialites, plant former, you know, they got that money passed down to them from slavery pre-1865. And they probably heavily invested in private prisons today. But, yeah, I know about that program. I think they finally got the legislation passed to start paying them payouts. I think it's like $50,000 per victim or something like that. But yeah, that's a state issue.
But the reason I'm mentioning that is because just like anything we see in this country, when the cover is pulled off of white folks, they seem to regroup and try it another way. I'm going to read from a published report that dated July 21st. It says, Tennessee jails offering inmates shorter sentences in exchange for sterilization. Tennessee inmates can receive upwards of 30 days cut from their jail sentence if they agree to get a vasectomy or insert contraceptive devices in their bodies. The White County in rural Tennessee started the program, which has been called into question by the American Civil Liberties Union, offering so-called choice between jail time and coerced contraception or sterilization is unconstitutional, says the ACLU in a statement. The White County prosecutor has been offering to cut jail sentences by sterilizing inmates and implementing an order that allowed agreeing inmates up to 30 days reduced from their sentences. The order's purpose was to discourage inmates with drug offenses and extensive criminal records from having children. I hope to encourage them to take personal responsibilities and give them a chance when they get out,
not to burden them with children.
Now, wait a minute. But the district attorney, Brian Dunaway, said offering contraceptives that limit someone's ability to have children is unethical and possibly illegal. It's incomprehensible that an 18-year-old gets this done and it can't be reversed, and then it impacts the rest of her life. As of Thursday, July 21st, 38 men were awaiting to undergo the surgery, and 32 women have received the contraceptive implants. So whatever went on in North Carolina and other states, when it was uncovered that they were doing this, you can see that they basically shift gears and is still doing the same thing. Talk about these things going on behind prison walls that our people really don't know about.
Yeah, so again, this is all connected to slavery and white supremacy, the oppression and extermination of black people. And, yeah, we reported that. I think that was one of the stories that was reported this past Wednesday.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I'm sure it was. But, see, that's what we do. We've done this for 5 years, week in and week out, every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock p.m. for 2 hours. And a lot of the stories don't even get in. But we share these type of stories. Same similar thing was going on in California prison. That got exposed, that where, you know, they're trying to coerce these women into being sterilized. Now, do some of these drug addicts and stuff like that need children? No, they don't need children. But it ain't for me to decide that. First of all, I feel like they should be able to smoke all the dope they want to smoke. And I don't see, I'm not trying to say that, trying to be funny. I'm saying somebody in their house smoking dope ain't got nothing to do with me. If my cousin next door, I'm looking at out the window at his house right now, is in there smoking crack, which I know he ain't, but if he was in there smoking crack that he bought with his money because he is employed, how is what he doing affecting me? Why should he go to jail or go to prison for it in the first place? See, I'm of the opinion that my rights end where another person's rights begin. So my rights end right here in this house that I'm sitting in. His rights begin in that house he's sitting in. And as long as we are not doing anything to harm each other, then where's the crime? Show me where the crime is. We want to use morality and what we think people should and should not be doing, and then throw them into slavery for it. What kind? And we're going along with this. I'm talking about you, me, and everybody. We've allowed this. Like Frederick Douglass said, the limits of the tyrants is prescribed by the endurance of their victims. And I know I paraphrased that, but that's the gist of what he said. We allow these things. So, you know, it's all about, it's all about, like you said, they do it in one area, then they just move it to another area. And slavery was never abolished. I mean, that's in the 13th Amendment. All it took was one reading of the 13th Amendment for me. Some people don't seem to get it, you know, but again, you know, the American public education system isn't thought of too highly either. So I get why some people don't get it. But it clearly states that slavery is set aside as a legal punishment for crime. Now we got private prisons, the GEO group, which the abolitionist movement almost successfully put them out of business from the bad press that we was giving them and the pressure that was being put on the Obama administration. But, you know, like the cool, slick cat that he is, he's going to wait to the last 3 months of his administration to then, you know, hey, we're no longer going to use private prisons. The federal government is not going to use private prisons. He ain't say nothing closing the doors of Unicor, that private prison the U.S. government owns and operates, okay? And so, you know, that gave the private prison enslavers time for their stock to recover. Man, they almost went out of business. But then when the presidential election came around and Trump got in there and he had been hyping private prisons out there on that trail, they was able to recover. I think, you know, I don't have too much of a high opinion of Barack Obama. You know, I know, you know, he provokes emotions in a lot of our people, but, you know, I kind of felt like that was strategic, you know, because if he'd have done that at the start of his second term, private prisons, we wouldn't even be talking about them today. They would have been killed by the market.
Well, didn't Beauregard Sessions said that he was going to also push that, you know, that private prisons be maintained?
Yeah, they just rescinded. They rescinded what the Obama administration did with Loretta Lynch. I mean, that's how it works. You go in there, write your own executive orders, tear up the other ones, make them null and void. That's how, you know, politics work. But, yeah, Jeff Sessions is for modern-day slavery and human trafficking.
Let me go ahead.
Thing about slavery.
No. Let me, because a couple callers on hold, let's go to 267. 267, air code.
Hello?
267.
Yeah, you got me. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Elliot?
Yes, sir.
Hey, this is Joe.
How are you,
Hello,
sir?
Good. Hello, Brother Richard and Brother Oshie. Your guests are great. I'm really enjoying the show. Seemed like I know we hit a lot of focus. Well, I personally think a lot of focus this one should be on what we do as a people. We need to really build up our own communities and almost not focus on what's going on out there in the world. We got enough issues. We need to start building up our agriculture, even if it start growing. And the first thing I think we need to do is start being able to feed ourselves.
Okay.
Even if it's locally. And then we can learn from other groups. They got all kinds of, like, community supportive agricultural projects that's going on, and that we can learn and how to first start kind of feeding ourselves. Build our own economic infrastructure and try to identify, again, what our community needs, whether it's plumbers, whether it's electricians, whatever, and focus on building or entertainment, and focus on building up our institutions and building up ways to build up the self-esteem, the cultural esteem, and the economics of the black community. And along with that, you know, we really need to have our own, like, military. We got to think what's in our best interest. So we got to kind of look inward. I mean, it's great we got to support our brothers who are protesting and the Black Lives Matter movement and all that. But they, you know, young sisters who are doing all this work. So we definitely have to support them. But like the earlier caller said, we aren't in a position to even protect ourselves. We just aren't. I mean, that's the reality. So it's cool to march, and we got to support the marchers and our brother Sharp. Because everybody has a way of doing what they think is right. But in my opinion, whether it's a barbershop, whether it's whatever, we need to support our own institution, our black colleges, our HBCUs, and really start to build up our infrastructure. So when the brothers come, so they won't have to go to jail or commit a life of crime because they're not educated, because they're undereducated, because there's no economic opportunities for them. They might have to join the military. Because they can work in their families or community's business. That's just my position. I'd like to learn a lot from the callers, but I think we need to look within, including building up our own military, militia, our own agricultural trade, looking to trade with Africans who have the diaspora and other people. Not just that, but our objective is to get make money and to build up our infrastructure, to get power. So these groups won't feel emboldened to go and have a march like that. And it's just like, in my opinion, like on the streets, you know, a bully's going to come and pick, they're going to pick on you because they know you're not going to do anything. There's going to be no real repercussions. Where the gangster rappers and all them, you know, they got, where are they at? Well, you know, they rap about being tough, but the reality is they're not really tough at all, and they're not really doing anything. So, I think we just need to really start building up our own, focus on our own community and building that up.
Joe, you mentioned the community support of agriculture. I know that Brother Oshie is from Milwaukee. And Brother Oshie, you could correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't there a brother up there that started community support of agriculture that had been going around to different cities trying to show other black folks how to do it?
Yes, urban agriculture.
Yes.
Brother Will Allen.
Okay.
Growing power. In fact, he just missed out on being invited by Obama to the Capitol or to the White House, whatever. Just missed out on some kind of voting thing, but he has been doing this for quite a long time and with some good success. And he has, just as you stated, has gone to other areas of the country, city, and assisted groups of brothers and sisters to develop urban agriculture and wherever, you know, plots of land on top of roofs or whatever, so we can feed ourselves. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. And it can be urban, it can be suburban, it can be rural. But we have to just have a focus, and I'm sure his brother's phenomenal, and I applaud his work. But again, I'm in Philly. There are resources here. We have an agricultural high school. We have, and I don't know if folks don't know, every county in the United States has an extension service, an agriculture extension service that's connected to the land grant institution. Every county in the United States, whether it's Philly, whether it's New York, whether it's any place, Alabama, Mississippi, is connected to the land grant institutions where there's information and help and support on how to grow your own produce or how to grow your own crops.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Sure.
Yeah, I want to respond to, and don't take this the wrong way, but the victim blaming. You know, you said that, you know, if we had all this infrastructure and black businesses to employ our people or these schools to educate our people properly, they wouldn't be out there doing all this crime and wouldn't end up in 21st century slavery and human trafficking. That's the gist of what you just said, sir. And these are victims of slavery, you know, and black people can do all those things. But at the same time, how are you going to compete with slave labor when you got, let me name some companies, when you got AT&T, when you got Starbucks, when you got Microsoft, when you got Walmart, when you got the people who make the uniforms for McDonald's, when you got the United States military, when they are having services and products provided to them by prison slaves, how are you as a private business owner going to compete against that? You can't compete against that. Now they making technology so that I went into where I had met somebody at McDonald's the other day that was trying to get to my house. And I'm seeing all these young people that's employed in the McDonald's. You know, we don't need to be eating at McDonald's, but I'm talking about the jobs. Now, these folks going to be out of jobs in maybe 5-10 years because in Silicon Valley right now, they're making fast food joints totally automated, run by robots. All you do is swipe your card. So what are those people going to do for a job and to survive? Technology is putting a lot of people out of work. But then also, why do you think these jobs, like they say, go overseas? It was called outsourcing because they can go over there and exploit those people's labor. All right. So
you're right.
Now they're doing what's called insourcing. Insourcing is expanding the work and the services of the prison slaves are providing. You can't compete against that. And again, I'm for all of that. I live in one of the oldest black communities in the United States, agricultural family and what have you. I just posted some pictures of some fresh produce the other day. But I'm not concerned about this black community I live in rural North Carolina. I'm concerned about the people who don't have what I have, who are being preyed upon. They're making homelessness, vagrancy, locking up people. That's slavery. That's slavery. So, look, you build up the infrastructure and go against the racism in the banking system and in government contracting and all of that. That's going to take some time. People come up and said we needed to do those things 150 years ago. But when you coming up against the force and the might of people that have this kind of money and making money off of slavery, I'm like this. I can't leave nobody behind. That's like Solomon Northrop. Remember Solomon Northrop? He was a free black man who played the fiddle up there in Washington, yeah. D.C., and he was getting doing business with white folks. Mm-hmm, and he didn't become an abolitionist until he got kidnapped.
He got locked up. Yeah, got kidnapped. You're right. It's very, very, very difficult. Yeah. And I actually agree with you.
I'll get you in there, Brother Oshie. Hold on a sec. Go ahead, Joe.
But I applaud, and I'm applauding the brother from the new black media. And that's what we need to, and I think that's great that we have this forum that we can talk about. Part of the issue, which I see personally, is we're not controlling our messages, we're not controlling our media, we're not actually even controlling our culture. So in certain businesses, I could call it a culture of commerce. Where certain folks just grow up and to their own business, and it just is a way of thinking. What the problem with us is we're not controlling our images that our kids see. So we have all these negative images in the media that's creating some of these situations. So you need to be the motivation is going to come within. Now we can go from just think of the great things that we did after slavery. Look at all the black colleges that were created. And in 1890, Tuskegee Eagles built in 1881, Lincoln University and Cheney were in 1850s. This is during slavery, after slavery.
That's why I started Black Talk Media Project in 9 years ago.
Hold on a second, Brother Scotty. Brother Oshie, get in.
Go ahead. Yeah, thank you, Brother Elliott. Yeah, let me just try to help myself understand this and give myself some clarity as well. You know, number one, I don't refer to us as being slaves. We were not slaves. We were captives. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master.
We're enslaved.
Right, that's right. We always fought. We fought on the continent, in the Middle Passage. We fought in this hemisphere, and we continue to fight today. So we'll always do that. But the other thing is that if we don't understand clearly now, and we should have understood this many years and decades and even centuries ago, that there will never be a condition in this country that benefits us collectively. Some of us might do well. Some of us might do okay. But for us collectively, it will always be us at the bottom. I think one of your other callers said it too. He says, we got no friends. This is true. We have no friends. Because of European Caucasian supremacy, racism, and privilege, and what it has done globally, everybody hates us. Everybody, even the indigenous people on the Trail of Tears coming out of Florida, going into Oklahoma, and then some hundred years later, they said, even those brothers and sisters that walked with them and died with them, if they're not 100% Cherokee, they don't get no money. They ain't get nothing. We have no friends. If you want a friend, go look in the mirror. And don't leave that mirror till you like what you see. And I don't mean your arched eyebrows or the curve of your nose. I'm talking about like what you see historically, like what you see culturally, like who you are as an African person, and be willing to share that love with our others. The only way we're going to get out of this madness is through development of unity, a functional
Absolutely.
Unity. A functional unity, not in conformity, but we realize that. And let me say this. The most revolutionary thing that we can do at this very moment, the most revolutionary thing we can do is to declare that we are an African people. We are African. We're Africans on the continent, and we're Africans in the diaspora. And the most technologically Africans in the diaspora are us, right here in this country, the American African. And if we could just get our stuff together instead of begging crackers for jobs and saying, no matter
Absolutely.
What, the work that we're doing, the education that we're receiving is for the liberation and self-determination and sovereignty of our people. We don't give a damn
yes.
about these crackers giving us a job. We're looking for the future, and we
yes.
are going to determine that. Don't we have
well,
that?
I'm looking at the president,
and I got to get ready to run,
All right.
Elliot.
Yeah. Yeah,
thank you, Brother Elliot. Thank you.
Joe. Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
All right. Scotty, you give out any information that you want to give out in reference to how people can donate to Black Talk Media Press. Go ahead.
Yeah, they can just go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. They'll see the promos for the new abolitionist radio. Look, we Big Ten, new abolitionist radio. Me personally, I follow the teachings of Malcolm X. And I'm talking about Malcolm X post NOI, not, you know, when he came into his own mind, and that's according to his own mouth. So I, as an abolitionist, will work with anyone. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what your nationality is. If you in Ghana, you want us to come out. I can't come personally, but Max and Tribal coming. So we Big Ten, like the abolitionists pre-1865. I personally can't sit around waiting on other folks to get their act together. I got to get with folks that already know a little something, can do a little something to bring about an end to the number one threat to humanity on the planet, and that's slavery. And it's being practiced all over the planet. Again, a European country, a company called G4S, is the largest employer in Africa, all right? Geo Group, a private prison enslaver here in the United States, got a contract to run all of the prisons in Australia. This is global. This is global. So this is a global movement. We're a Big Tent movement, and we're hoping that anybody who recognizes that you know, slavery was never abolished and they want to do something to end slavery, and we'll deal with the fallout later, but we want to focus on ending slavery, legalized slavery, not that metaphorical slavery. We ain't talking about athletes with million-dollar contracts that they signed, that they volunteered to go out there. And we ain't talking about metaphorical slavery. We ain't talking about no mental chains or nothing like that. We talking about real chains on your ankles and on your wrists, okay? So we talking about slavery, and if you're interested in the slavery, those who can come out to Washington, D.C., Lafayette Square, across the street from that White House that Victims of Slavery built, will be there. From the rally is from noon to 5. Sister Pam Africa will be there. One of the brothers from the Angola 3, former Black Panther, political prisoner. I think it's Albert Woodfox. No, Robert King. Robert King will be there. It's a whole list of speakers. I'll be one of the moderators. Max Parthas, of course, is on the lineup. If you want to, we're like 60% of the way of our fundraising goal. This is so that we can have a proper PA system. Of course, our transport with the equipment to Washington, D.C. from as far away as South Carolina, so we can broadcast it globally, because Black Talk Radio Network does have a global audience. That's how the brothers and sisters in Ghana hooked up with us. So we want to broadcast that rally global. This is to just put the world on notice and make a demand that slavery be ended. We ain't asking, we ain't begging, we demanding that slavery come to an end. And whatever we got, like Malcolm X said, by any means necessary, let's end slavery. Please donate if you can. If you cannot, you know, be check your area. It might be a solidarity event in your local area going on, as they are happening across the country. Thanks. Thank you, Elliot.
Hey, Brother Scotty. Thanks for being with
us, man.
Brother
Richard. Yes, sir. Brother Yoshi and the callers.
Peace, brother.
Peace.
Talk to you soon. We've got about 20 more minutes. Callers can get involved. 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We're showcasing our new family member, the Time for Awakening Media. African Perspectives is the name of the program. The host is Brother Oshie of Motherland Media Group. We'll be right back. Again, you can join the conversation with the time we have left at 215-490-9832. We got some callers on hold. We'll be right back.
Tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
Hey, did y'all see the stuff I posted on my wall?
Nah, it didn't even show up in my news feed.
Man, I'm done with social media. All the injustice and brutality going around, and it's like they're trying to suppress our voice. We're trying to get the message out there, and you can't even share empowerment and what's going on around the country either. Mm-mm.
Nah, don't be dumb with social media, though. It's a tool, and there is a place where we have a voice. It's a Let's Buy Black 365 social network. You do anything you would on any other social network. Post pictures, videos, status updates, share resources and community news. But on Let's Buy Black 365, it's a platform for us and by us to tell our messages.
Whoa, that's like a digital underground railroad.
What's the name of that site again?
It's letsbuyblack365.com.
Yeah, I heard about that. It's all about networking, and you get points, right?
Yeah, the more you network, network, post, and share, the more points you get. Plus, you get points for posting pictures, sharing information, attending community events, and inviting others to network with you on the app.
Wow, that's all I need to know. I'm gonna go download that app right now.
Now, better yet, let me invite you so I can get some points. It's all about empowerment and solutions, y'all.
Yeah, that's what's up. I'm all in.
Let's do it. Let's share our stories.
Let's buy Black365.com.
What is in 1 million brothers and sisters who are tired of the same old rhetoric, the same old leaders, the same old ways of dealing with political and economic empowerment? You realize that nobody's going to save black people but us if you understand that no existing political party prioritizes the best interests of African Americans as a collective. If you believe that leadership is as leadership does, and this means that the best leaders for the black collective must come from the ranks of those who place and hold the best interests of black people foremost and uttermost. If you understand that black people must develop the mindset and the will to finance their own racial uplift organizational efforts, then get involved with 1 million conscious black voters and contributors. The movement is now. Go to www.iamoneofthemillion.com. That's www.iamoneofthemillion.com.
Now, what's happening in all the urban cities across America is that you got a process in place right now in urban redevelopment. They're using five techniques to totally wipe you out. One is called gentrification. They're going into all these major cities that used to be majority black populated cities, and they are erasing you in places like Detroit, Michigan, New York, Boston, Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. used to be the chocolate city. When I went there with President Carter in 1976, at that time, Washington, D.C. was 78% black. Now it's down about 42% black. Chocolate City is gone. Detroit, Michigan is going to be totally wiped out by immigrants pouring into the society. Since 1970 up to now, we've had 45 million immigrants coming to the United States. They came in over you, and they're displacing you. And then the second term they use besides gentrification to wipe you out is a thing they call privatization. You go into Detroit, Michigan, as they gentrify, they're going to take all the public resources and things that should be owned by the public, they're going to place them through privatization to the hands of the wealthy whites. Whites are going to buy your golf courses, your subway systems, your bridges, your tunnels. They're going to control your airports, your parks, your museums. Why? Again, because Anderson says, he who owns and controls the resources got the power. If you own and control nothing, you are totally, absolutely useless and expendable. And that's why nothing has changed for us, because we don't understand the system of gentrification and privatization. The other thing they're using to wipe you out in those cities is called metropolitan forms of government. Where now they're going to do regional form of government, which means that the whites in the suburbs can come into those black cities and set up some kind of consortium to control what goes on inside those cities so they can extract the resources out of them. Another concept they use in those cities is called cool cities, which says cool cities mean bring in the gays and let them replace black folk. And that's the fourth scheme they use on you. And in Detroit, Michigan, use that as an example again, the governor there has already set up in movement a system where he wants to go to the president of the United States, Obama, and ask him for a green card system where he can start importing Chinese from China to make Detroit, Michigan the biggest Chinatown in the United States, even though that city had a 90% black population. They're going to bury blacks in Detroit, Michigan, underneath Asians coming into Detroit. And already in Detroit, Michigan, in Dearborn, right on the outskirts of Detroit, Arabs own 90%. 90% of all the businesses in the city of Detroit are owned by Arabs. Arabs and 90% black population must go to the Arabs to get what they want in terms of food, medicine, clothing, because they own out of the gas stations. You got 146 gas stations in Detroit, Michigan. Arabs now own 144 in a black city. Blacks own two gas stations out of 146. You own nothing. The rest, the hotels, are owned, and the 7-Elevens are owned by Indians. Asians are owning the laundries. The laundries, they're owning the hair and wig shops, the nail shops. Blacks own nothing in a 90% black city. And that's why now Detroit went into poverty.
From antiquity to the present, our people need to develop a new paradigm. It's time for an awakening with your host, Brother Elliot. Sundays, 7 p.m., Fridays at 8 p.m. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit us up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Welcome back. Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. And we're in open form this evening, but we were showcasing one of our new hosts joining the Time for Awakening family. Brother Oshie is with us. The program is called African Perspectives. He's part of the Motherland Media Group that will be broadcasting on Time for Awakening. We're happy to have Brother Oshie on the line tonight, just introducing him to the listening audience, discussing various topics, and showcasing African perspectives. Let's go back to the phones. We got a caller on hold. 602 area code, 602.
Yes, Brother Richard and Brother Elliot and Brother Oshie. This is Brother Marcus from Memphis here calling.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right, good brothers. Just a little information, you know, that Marcus Garvey's birthday is going to be on August the 17th. However, in Jamaica, they're going to be having a program broadcasting from IRA FM, Muta Baruka's program, on the 20th, which is next Sunday. I think it starts from 6 in the morning, celebrating Garvey's birthday. So I think they're going to be live streaming it on YouTube. They did it last year.
Okay.
It's going to be a dynamic program. So, you know, if you can put that on your calendar. And, you know, and I like that new program that's coming on. You know, because anything to connect us with Mother Africa, you know, that's a beautiful program. So keep on doing your good work, good brothers, and take care.
Brother Marcus?
Yes.
You're looking forward to African Perspectives, huh?
Yes, definitely. Because that's
Brother Oshie, that's your cue, Brother Oshie.
Well, yes. Thank you for that. Yes, sir.
Yes, because we have to tie up with the motherland. You know, we have to make that connection. So I think that's a great addition to the program, and I look forward to hearing more about it.
Well, thank you, dear brother. You know, I like to. Once again, the words of Dr. John Henry Clark. The African Revolution will have to be technical, spiritual, and cultural. It will have to preserve and enhance the best of old Africa, which will be the main ingredient for the Africa still to come.
Yes,
at the heart. At the heart of the solution for us, at the heart of the solution will be a concept of Pan-Africanism, a dynamic program of Pan-Africanism working for the unification of African people throughout the world.
I agree with you totally, yes. It's Pan-Africanism or perish, you know. We see what's taking place in this country, so... We have to move, and we have to move fast, you know. But again, I say our people are not ignorant, you know. We ain't been on this planet here the longest, people being dumb and stupid, you know. So when the time comes to move, we're going to move, and I see it happening. So, you know, we just got to keep on track, and with additions to your program, like with your program, that's going to help us even make the connection even faster and, you know, stronger.
Well, I'm on every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And that is my contribution to raising the consciousness of our people. I'll be there, and I'm talking about independence. I'm talking about self-determination. I'm talking about liberation. I am talking about sovereignty for African people. Period. There is no other way.
Definitely.
We should be able to clearly understand the dynamics of what we're seeing today. That there is no way that we can wish this, hope this, pray this,
legislate this, vote this, none of that crap.
What we got to do is throw off
the yoke that they've put on us, step outside of the imposed boundaries that they have placed on us, and not to see, like yesterday, I wouldn't give a moment or raise a fist for anything to fight Caucasians, to stay in this madness,
exactly.
To risk my life. No, to hell with them. They are going to do, remember I mentioned before, they suffer from cognitive dissonance. There's nothing that we can say or do to change their attitude about their superiority and their right to dominate, to do things exactly. In their image and for their interest. You know, there's nothing. And everything that they do has been designed to do that, and it's been to our detriment. So it ain't even about, see, what we can do right now, we don't have to go to the UN. We don't have to beg anybody. Only thing we have to do is change our minds. It's coming to the reality that we are an African people, and we embrace our Africanness. The brothers and sisters on the continent understand it. The people in the diaspora understand it. We are not a poor people. Once again, Dr. John Henry Clark. Africa has had all the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and don't want to pay for. And yet, here we are, the most technologically advanced Africans on the planet. If we hook up with the brothers and sisters on the continent, kick out the Chinese, kick out the Caucasians, kick out the neo-colonials, kick out those weak leadership, and come with a collective leadership, and that we know that we are doing everything in the best interest of our people, the resources that are under the feet of African people, the diamonds, the cobalt, the uranium, the bauxite, all of the minerals that everybody wants will now have to pay a fair price for it. We will be players in the world instead of the pawns that we have become. And there is no doubt, as our ancestors have said, we will get the respect of the world when Africa is free and we are in control, that we will once again be people. Because, I mean, there was a period of time, Brother Richard and Brother Elliot, that people came and sat at our feet.
Exactly.
People in the ancient world came to sit at the feet of African people to learn the basic disciplines of knowledge of science and math and architecture, music, writing, law, and religion, you name it. Now nobody wants to even be in our vicinity, and they sure the hell don't want us in there. So what I'm saying is that we have this opportunity, and the only thing that we need to do to take advantage of this opportunity, it's always been there, is to change our mind, change the way we think, what we think about ourselves and each other, to develop a respect for one another, a trust for one another, a love for one another. One of the brothers was talking a moment ago, I'm involved with Us Lifting Us, ULU, which is an economic cooperative. And what we're doing is pulling our resources to develop businesses, to provide goods and services for our people. Not that somebody gets rich. Capitalism is an evil system. It's an exploitive system. The Caucasians who are talking about white supremacy, this and that, they ain't going to do nothing to stop what Caucasians have done. They don't like the ugliness, but they still love the fact that they're in control and they're dominating.
Oh, yeah. Brother Marcus, thank you for your contribution, brother. Man.
Good take care. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your call. And I look forward to you listening, dear Marcus. Peace to you.
Will do, good brother. Will do.
Peace.
I think we got a couple more here. Let's go to 414. 414? 414 area code. Okay, they might have stepped away. Let's go to another 414. 414?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, brother. How you doing?
How are you, sir?
Brother Ella? Yes, my name is Jeff. Jeff Lemon, and I'm affiliated with Brother Osha there.
Okay.
And I'm, as like him, I'm thrilled to be a part of the new family of Time for Awakening. And the work that we that we have to do. It's going to take us and more to overcome the things that we face with globally, you know, when it comes to dealing with the racism.
Okay.
I'm in total agreement with Brother Ocean. I'm one of the number one fan, and I'll do anything and everything I can to possibly support the to support their show, I mean their program. And I'm looking forward to the move to come over to Time and Awakening because it's been an excellent program, and I'm just thrilled to death to be a part of it. And, I'm more than willing to do whatever work that is necessary to get the job done because the only people going to change our condition is us. You know,
that's right.
And right when we start eliminating those possibilities, I mean, I just grown to understand what we have to do. We just have to deal with people that know how to add and multiply. If they're subtracting and dividing, we have to leave them alone. You know what I'm saying? Because we're going to have those folks that do that. And there's no other discussion that we should be having as the discussion that we're having right now and the discussions that we have on African perspective. There's no other discussion that we need to have but for our own liberation, having our own sovereignty, you know, just being solvent within ourselves to be more redefine our reality and not continue to let the Europeans do just that, is to define our reality. And I'm just looking forward to it. So, Brother Elliot, I got to get used to the voices and separate the names. And you said there's Brother Rich there. I'm looking forward to possibly engaging in you, brothers, in the dialogue that we need to have to elevate ourselves as African people.
Well, listen, I'm glad to have you on as a listener and a participant with Brother Oshi, and just looking forward to having you, man.
You bet. Oh, yeah. Thanks, Brother Jeff.
Oh, man. I'm glad you remind me of the call. And I got to get the times down because I want to participate in all of it. Of course, Oshi know where I'm at pretty much right now. I'm in the possibility of making the transition to a different city. And once I get settled in, I can horn in on all the avenues that we're going to need to take to start us down on the path of achieving the goals that what we need to get to, you know. And we've got to be able to find brothers here in this country that's willing to go back and touch those brothers and sisters back on the motherland and connect with them and build the Africa that we is our responsibility. So nobody else gonna do it but us. So.
Thank you for your call, sir.
Yeah, not a problem.
Have a good evening.
Yeah, I want to thank Brother Jeff Lemon. He's been a great assistant to me, technically, with the program on Blog Talk Radio for Motherland Media, and as well as he stands in for me, he subs for me, he co-hosts as well. So I really want to thank him for all his efforts.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
You know, we still got a few more minutes. We can go a little bit. If somebody want to jump on, they can do that at 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. Brother Oshi and Richard, I want you to, because I heard what you mentioned earlier, Brother Oshi, about the core belief of a lot of these white folks is that they are superior. And I agree with that. But let me throw something else in the mix, and I want your opinion on it. I think the core belief of a segment of white folks, and when I say a segment, I'm talking about because white folks is famous for throwing around class. You got a certain class of white folks that believe exactly what you said, that they believe they're superior. But I think that there is, I know that there is a leadership class of whites that know that they need to keep black folks ignorant of who they are, because they can maintain power that way. If you notice, because European has basically dominated the planet, they went and on to almost every nation and took over their governments. If they don't have puppet governments set up, they have puppet people in place. And they don't care whether the people know who they are or not, because they're in control. But if you notice, black folks here, and especially in this country and other areas of the diaspora, and even on the continent, it's a concerted effort by white leadership to keep black folks ignorant. That's the key. I believe that's the total key, is keeping our people ignorant of who they are. Sure, it's a certain amount of our people that always knew who they were and kept the fires burning. But it's a segment of our people, and I don't want to say the majority, but it's a lot of our people that are ignorant of who they are and what we're supposed to be doing. That's how this man stays in power, by keeping our people ignorant. I want you and Rich's opinion on that.
Brother Oshie, I kind of, when Brother Ellie raised this point, I'm always kind of hesitant to respond, because it seems to me, as you emphasize, what Dr. Clark had told us to do is to, you know, review history. And for me, you know, it's yes, it may be some group of people that are not informed, and once they have the values, African values, but right now they may not have the specific information of what to do. And being specific, say, like, what acts in my actions I have to do to be doing the acts of sovereignty, to moving towards sovereignty. And you gave an example, like being a part of cooperatives in that manner. But I also in surveying, the little survey of history, I've said that there's a group of Africans who have bought in to the project. I call it the project of white supremacy and all its variations. They have enrolled into those values of white supremacy. White European values. And one thing that's a part of that white European values that Jacob Carruthers, when he called about the new orthodoxy, when they said that Africans were inherently subhuman, that's a philosophy that the European elite has created from the 1750s and before. They codified it as a sign and been trying to prove it scientifically all along, and implementing it in their laws and legislations throughout time. And that's throughout the domination, as they move to dominate the planet. So I kind of think that those two things, that they're white elite, not that they believe philosophically and scientifically that Africans are an inferior, quote unquote, race. And two, that Africans is a segment, and I'm not sure, but I believe it's a large segment, maybe a small segment, but are in controlling positions that are in agreement with that philosophy, scientific position that whites who control the system of white supremacy believe. That's the way I approach it. More than is about that they can be re-educated to their understanding of why we need sovereignty as a people, because of this system doesn't provide no sense of giving us ownership of our own selves.
Well, Caucasians want to maintain and sustain the privilege that they've created for themselves by another Malcolm quote, by any means necessary. So even if they have to get rid of some Caucasians to do so, they'll do that.
Right.
You know, and it doesn't make any difference. If they have numerical numbers, then they'll talk about majority rules or some kind of democracy. But even if they don't, they'll still figure out how to co-opt others and manipulate others so they can maintain that dominance and control. They did it in South Africa. They weren't the numerical number there. And they do it through intimidation. They do it through all-out murder. I mean, you name it. I mean, we all know that Muammar Gaddafi was murdered, and the blood of Muammar Gaddafi is on the hands of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and NATO and the West.
Mm-hmm.
They manipulated that whole situation because why? He was going to create a gold currency, the gold dinar, to buy his crude oil, which is some of the best crude oil on the market. But also, he was going to give that to Africa, and so Africa could become economically independent. But the international bankers, the Rothschilds, the Bilderbergers, the Rockefellers, all those crackers who own and control the economies of the world. That's why your money, see, they knew that couldn't happen because their money is not backed up by anything but their word.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to back the money up by the resources that are on the continent of Africa. You know, so they couldn't allow that to happen. That can't happen. And there were many of us who were happy that Muammar Gaddafi was killed because of maybe some money that they might have tied up, some investments that they have, but consistently and furthering European Caucasian supremacy, racism, and privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this problem is going to be with us until, and there's nothing we can do to reform it, nothing we can do to change it, nothing we can do to soften it. In fact, it's going to harden. It's going to be even tougher. Because why? That's why the other brother, we talked about the mass incarceration, why mass incarceration is so important, particularly here in this country. When the amount of jobs have been gone and the kind of jobs that pay decent wage, a livable wage, you know, they're gone, especially for minimal skills. So now you got to have two or three of those kind of jobs just to make ends meet.
I know it, to make a living wage, yeah.
To make a living wage, you know, because, and the Caucasian never, and you'll never hear them, even from the poorest of them to those who have the wealth, they'll never talk about redistribution of wealth.
Mm.
They'll never talk. In fact, it's been said that the economic situation in this country is so bad that it would take over 200 and something years before we as Africans here in this country and Caucasians are at the same level economically.
Let's
so,
go.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish, go ahead.
So what I was going to say is that, so given these hard realities, why are we still begging these Caucasians to allow us to be a part of what they've created for themselves? Hell, it don't even work for them. So why don't we change our attitudes and change our mind, purge ourselves of all this ignorance, all this self-doubt, all this self-hatred, begin to respect ourselves, love ourselves, say that we are African people and we embrace Africa, we embrace Africans, we're going to do all that we can to support who we are and what we're about, and damn it, do it. Do it. Don't even talk about it. Do it. Where we are. Because once again, either we do it or we die.
Mm-hmm.
Either we do it or we die. And once we begin to do it, Brother Elliot, Brother Richard, once we begin to do it, everything else begins to fall in place. We know why we must begin to train ourselves to defend ourselves. We know if there is a vote, why we have to vote and who we vote for. We know why we pull our money together to get everybody else out of our community and that we only spend money with each other. Why a concept of like us lifting us, Ulu, is so important to be a cooperative, not one person who accumulates tremendous amounts of wealth at the expense of everybody else. No, we're going to change this whole paradigm, change this whole dynamic. Because if we don't, we will perish. And that's the fact. That's how I see it. And I see, let me say why I see it that way, brothers and sisters. Because I have looked and read our ancestors. I have looked and read our scholars, our historians, and I'm talking about those who believe that we should be self-determining. I ain't talking about some of them old cats just, you know, didn't believe that we did anything, that we were running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never having done anything of significance or consequence before Europeans came in our lives. There's some of us who still believe that to this day. That's how whitewashed they have become. And they will do any and everything to defend white supremacy. It sickens me. I listen to TV One, News One Now, and Fathead Roland Martin makes me sick when he calls us slaves all the time. We're not slaves. The slaves. You know, I know.
Bro, Osha, you don't like Roland Martin?
No.
Oh, well, wait a minute. wait a minute, Brother Osha. Our next caller, he loves Roland Martin, and I want to put him on. Caller?
Okay.
Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. You hear me?
Yes, go ahead, caller.
I just want to welcome Brother Osha to Time for Awakening Family.
And, hey, Ralph.
Hey, Brother Osha. Hey, look,
hey,
Brother Osha.
He didn't say, I don't think he might.
I like Roland Martin.
It's okay.
I hope you bring Pianchi with you.
here y'all go.
I hope you bring Pianchi with you, because we're going to need him in the dialogue, Brother Osha.
Oh, man, please don't.
Hey, but Brother Osha, you know, what I was thinking, and I heard Brother Jeff call in, what I was thinking, man, you brought up a conversation earlier when you said, are there any satellite radios, stations that broadcast any consciousness? I'm going to tell you no, and I had to get rid of XM. It's okay. The same garbage you hear on Radio 1. They want to turn black power into the Democratic Party. It's the same thing. So,
right.
No. So what you, Brother Jeff, Brother Elliot, Brother Richard, what y'all could do, man? You give me something to listen to during the day when I'm at work and I have my headphones on. I listen to you. Because the garbage that we have to put through up here in Philadelphia, down there in Atlanta, in Chicago, that's purity garbage that they're giving our people.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, man, I'm saying welcome. Maybe we can get something right through the afternoon where Sharpton's even. You know what I mean? So this could be the start of something big, brother. And I'm glad you're here. And I just want you to give the listeners, because sometimes, you know, when you say they look at us as we're inferior, there are things we voluntarily do to make ourselves appear that way. And so I want you to give the listeners of the Time for Awakening your whole analysis of religion. And that's a show.
Well, that might be a show in itself. Yeah, that might be a show in itself, Ralph.
Yeah, that's a show in itself, but when you hear Brother Osha gives his, especially Christianity, but he breaks down Islam too. But when you hear him give his insight in there, you say, like, okay, this is my type of brother here. So I just wanted to call and welcome you, my brother.
I appreciate it, brother. Thank you, Val.
Yeah. All right, Elliot, Richard. I'm going to go back on hold, man, and thanks for bringing them on.
Thanks for your call, brother.
All right, now.
We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we're going to wind things up. And we might be able to slip one more in. Let's see. You can give us a call, 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We're showcasing one of our new hosts that will join the Time for Awakening family, Brother Osha, with the show African Perspectives. He's a part of the Motherland Media Group. And, again, we still got a few minutes left, so you can get involved. 215-490-9832. We'll be right back.
are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
I transformed a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one of the tangible transformations I've created for entrepreneurs in various industries around the country. If this isn't what you think of when you think of accounting and business consulting, then get ready to take down this invaluable information. Are you an entrepreneur suffering with a stagnating company? Have headache customer, staff, or vendors? Are you rebounding from a loss and need help achieving your unrealized potential? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? Hi, my name is Nataki Kamban. If you're ready to go beyond advising and coaching and get results, then call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions recommend and implement the best comprehensive sales, administrative, human resources, accounting, and operations to help you grow into your vision for yourself and your company. Again, from anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072 or pull us up on your device right now and book your free consultation at www.newbusinesssolutions.com. And just mention you heard the special announcement on Time for an Awakening.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
Yet our best trained, best educated, best equipped, best prepared troops refuse to fight. Matter of fact, it's safe to say that they would rather switch then fight.
Can't get careless. You say, what is this? Yeah. I'm a loving. Let's get down. check. Don't worry, be happy.
Was the number one jam. Damn, if I failed, you can slap me right here. Get it.
Let's get this party started right.
Right on.
Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. Interesting show this evening. We were open for showcasing one of our new family members, Brother Oshie, the program African Perspectives of the Motherland Media Group. And again, interesting program with Brother Oshie, Brother Richard, Brother Oshie. Now, you're not on yet, but I want the listening audience to kind of be aware, because I'll be announcing it anyway. But given the times that you'll be on and the days.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific Time. And for those 2 hours, I will have programs much like what you have, Brother Elliot. Sometimes just some good commentary and narratives, and hopefully I can develop some ways to say, I don't know, I'm old school, so I'm going to be working with some folks to help me develop the program, and of course talking with you as well. So when I do broadcast, you know, it'll be nice and smooth and clear, and maybe some good music and so forth, cutaways. But the bottom line is that the program will deal with ways that we as African people can come together to solve our problems. Nobody's going to do this for us but us. That's clear. And that, if that's not clear to you, then you are naive. Then you are in a pathological denial of reality and history. The only people that are going to do this for us is us. And so we have to come together, put our differences aside, get some introspective, to believe in ourselves and believe in each other, to go ahead and do it, to trust one another, to pull our resources together to do it. And I ain't talking about just here in the United States. I'm talking about African people global. I'm talking about us globally. Just because, and I ain't talking about the few of us who have done so. I'm talking about us in our totality. I recognize, I used to say that like this, out of 100% of us, 40% of us are at or below the poverty line. We're talking about here in America, at or below the poverty line, 40%. Another 40% of us are 2 to 3 paychecks away from being with the brothers and sisters who are at or below the poverty line or in a very tough condition. That's 80% of our people. But yet, the 20% of us could give less than a rat bloop, about the other 80, because they got there. Because what America espouses is individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. So that 20%, they cool with it. They got there. And if you didn't get yours, it's your fault. Because they don't fault the system. They don't understand that it is the system that is corrupt. But they got there. So now other 20%, 10% are doing well. They have good jobs. They have businesses. They're on retirement. They live in gated communities, subdivisions, cul-de-sacs. They're doing fine. Then there's the other 10% of us who are doing exceedingly well. But most of them are in entertainment or possibly even in politics. So some of the politicians have done well for themselves. Their constituents haven't. Our people haven't. But they have, you know, entertainers. These sports and so forth, you know, because we sure in the hell don't have industrialists. We don't have people who have huge conglomerates that employ tons and tons of our people, you know. So this is our situation. This is what we're up against. And I recognize that fact. So I have no illusions. I know what I'm trying to do is to change the minds of our people, is to elevate the consciousness of our people. There's a saying that conditions shape conduct and consciousness. Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. What are the conditions in our community? And being honest, they're terrible. What is the conduct towards each other? It's deplorable. Why? Because we lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. It's a deep understanding of who you are culturally and a respect for yourself and those who are like you.
Yep.
And so if we do that, brother, and believe me, like I said, I'm in this. I've been in this. I've been talking about this. I've been saying what I'm saying for decades. For decades. Anybody who knows me, if you contact somebody down in Milwaukee and you just say, do you know Brother Oshie in our community? And they'll say, this is the kind of man that brother is. Because to me, time out for that. Time out for self-aggrandizing and pray. We have got to do this or we die. I have two grandchildren myself. I would love to see them grow up in an environment that is much different and much better than what we have been experiencing in this country. So that's what you're going to be hearing when you tune in to African Perspective. You're going to hear a unapologetically African perspective. An unapologetically African perspective on the issues of our day. Tomorrow I'll talk about what went on in Charlottesville and what it really means and what it means for us and a few other things.
I love it. Brother Richard?
Congratulations. I'm glad to see you, Brother. Brother Oshie, I applaud the perspective because we definitely need to get that perspective, that level of analysis. So I'm also looking forward to listening to your program and being able to become informed, become aware of how to make my moves differently, if not reinforce the moves that I've already made.
Well, I hope, Brother Richard, that you have some time. During these Eastern time hours from 11 to 1 p.m., that you could come on the program and we could chop it up and you could give some good information for our listeners as well. And yes. You too, Brother Elliot. I hope that's the case. Somebody said, well, Brother Oshie, you always talking about the same thing, you know. And I said, well, you might say it's redundant or repetitive. But I say what it is positive reinforcement. We are bombarded 24/7, 365 by the Europeans with images of our inferiority, notions of our inabilities and so forth, 24/7. And so what I'm trying to do is like take a pick and it is consistently chip away at that ignorance, chip away of all of that stupidity, all that madness, you know, until it is broken, and now we can come into the reality of who we are and who we must be to do for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Brother Oshie, looking forward to it. I'll be in contact with you. We can set things up, and we'll be moving forward with you, with Dr. Rogers, and Brother Akima.
William Rogers will come along. Hopefully, us lifting us, will come along, and hopefully we'll get others to join A Time for Awakening, Motherland Media Network, Black Talk Radio Network.com to get this thing going and that we could begin to speak with that kind of voice. Because what I'd like to do also is try to eliminate confusion. Confusion. You know, that's one thing, of course, that if there's confusion, there's division. And believe me, I'm not going to be the one to create it. I'm trying to rectify it. I'm trying to correct it. I'm trying to make sure that we're clear about what our situation is and what our destiny is as a people.
Looking forward to conversating in the future. We'll be in touch.
All right. All right. Peace, family.
Thank
Peace
you, brother. Family. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Richard.
Yes, sir.
That's Brother Oshie, African Perspectives. You can look forward to him sometime in September, probably early September. Oh, I'll let the listening audience know when his program debuts, but it'll be Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 to 1. And again, I want to thank our listening audience that listened on the Southern Soul Network and our family network, our radio network, I'm sorry, and the Southern Soul Network. We just joined that group. So the even though Time for Awakening is heard all over, they do have a specialized audience in the Black Belt, Louisiana, Texas. In fact, they broadcast out of Texas. So it's Louisiana, Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia. That whole Black Belt area is where the Southern Soul Network and our family network, our radio network, is broadcasting out of. And we are a part of that now, so you can hear us. We'll be announcing that on Time for Awakening. So we're trying to expand and get the message out there. You'll hear some other things going on in the coming weeks in reference to Time for Awakening, an expansion of things. So keep your ears peeled. And again, like the promo says, for live program scheduling, just drop us a note at timeforawakening@gmail.com, and we'll try to make arrangements to facilitate new voices being added to the family. Any last words, Brother Richard?
I think we've said it all. You know, yes, I think we said it all, and I'm really ecstatic about the, the Southern expansion of Time for Awakening, because that's our home when you get down to it, right? You know, a lot of us are from North Carolina on down, all the way through, mm-hmm. going around. That's who we are. So it's good to be able to start to get feedback through the callers and be able to communicate and continue to develop from that perspective.
I want to thank everybody for listening to the program this evening. Lively discussion, as always, and we'll be back on Friday, Lord willing, to continue on this path towards an awakening. Peace.
Peace.
If you're driving through the country on a lazy afternoon,